Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's Monday Night Forum here on Blog Talk Radio. I guess the first thing I'd like to address tonight is the forum that we have going here and the chat rooms. We're trying a new chat box on our website right now. I'm not sure exactly how things are going on that, but hopefully they're going well. It's going to be a temporary solution. We are building another chat, which hopefully we'll get going in the next week or two or so. We also, some of the problems I think we've been having with the streaming or with the chat area or that particular page crashing has been mostly, I think, because a lot of people are hitting and refreshing the page or starting that box up for the live stream at the same time. And so many people are doing it at the same time that it seems to crash the system. So hopefully tonight we haven't crashed. I know the tech said he'd be listening in and hopefully being able to capture any problems and deal with them. I spoke with Blog Talk Radio, and they're working on right now a solution for us. I asked them to set up a live stream that would automatically stream as soon as the program goes live. And they claim that that's what they're working on for us right now. Not sure how long that's going to take, but they said it would take longer than a week, and they started working on it last Thursday or Friday. I do know I spoke with them this morning, and they said that the techs do have it, and they're working on it. So I don't know whether we'll have it by next Monday or the Monday after, but we will have that eventually. So it'll be set up on our website. You'll just need to go to the chat room page, and at 9 o'clock it'll just automatically stream. I presume we're not going to have the widget there. The widget is that box there with the last five or six programs that we've had. We'll probably put that on a different page if it's just an automatic stream. And I think that's how it's going to be set up. It's going to be an automatic stream without the widget. But we'll find out when they work out that problem and give us the code. And again, the chat box is going to change. Right now we're using someone else's chat area in our page. I guess it's coming through an in-frame. And on that, obviously, you make up your names. You don't see the names that you would have or normally unless you created that you would normally have here on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, we have, when we get our chat box fixed, the premier members will be seen. And a premier member is anybody who's supporting us financially, given $5 a month or more. That won't work in the chat box we have right now, but when we get that back, that will be working on the new program. The program will hopefully will work well for us. We're also live over at Blog Talk Radio. We've got a few people in the room over there, so if anybody's having a problem with the chat room on our website, you can go over to Blog Talk Radio and get into the chat room there. Gerard, if you're online, let me know. We were going to talk a little bit about what's taking place here in New York. We did serve the papers. We spoke about that last week on Monday. The papers were dropped off Monday morning. The sheriff delivered them in person to the judge, in person to the clerk, but he didn't do that until Tuesday. Not sure why it took so long. It's only, the buildings are back-to-back to each other, and we got to them early in the morning. But I just, I guess they're really wondering what's going on. They're reading the papers, and whatever they're doing, they're doing. But we made the decision not to do anything until we're giving them 1 week. So tomorrow will be 1 week, and tomorrow we'll go forward with the next part of our plan, which will, if they do not answer, and thus far they haven't, so if they continue and not to answer, we're going to do the affidavits. We're going to file, it's already been decided by the grand jury here in New York, that we are going to indict those two individuals. And we're going to do the affidavits, sworn affidavits of a crime that was committed, that crime being the removal or not forwarding the paperwork delivered to the clerk and not putting it in the file and taking it towards the process. That's a crime both through U.S. codes and New York codes. So we have numerous people who can do an affidavit and swear that that this crime has taken place, and we will then take that down to the sheriff and we'll assist on the arrest of these two individuals, both the judge and the clerk. And we'll see how that goes. You know, we have a lot of ideas and different things to do. We've been working through this program and putting the pressure on, and believe me, I'm convinced there's huge amounts of pressure on these people, and I really believe at some point they will break. So we'll just continue indicting and arresting people as we move forward. Obviously, if the sheriff doesn't do his duty, he's committing a crime also. It's called felony rescue. And so we'll just move down the line and take it step by step. Meanwhile, we're growing, and the more and more people we get behind us and more growth we have and more constitution of grand juries every county, the stronger we become, and really the more pressure is applied. We had a little bit of a meeting here in New York, hopefully with a few people, hopefully to get things going again and to get our grand juries going in the counties we haven't gotten them constituted in yet. Anybody that's in listening that's from New York, we have a couple of people who probably have sent you an email or made contact with you or are making contact with the by phone. We hope that everybody on our list will work with these couple of individuals to get the elections going in the counties here in New York that were not elected. It's extremely important that we start to really start to mount up the number of constituted juries, grand juries here in New York, because that puts the bigger pressure on the people that were pressing in order to get control of the jury room, which is our unalienable right. We're going to talk a little bit about what to do, what we should be doing, and the state plan tonight. But before we do that, I just want to quickly go through something on our website. Maybe spend 5 or 10 minutes there. The first thing I'd want to talk about is for the state leaders. And if you don't do this now, you could do it after the show. But if you put your cursor on the states, and you'll light up all the states on this page, down on the bottom you'll see a link that says instructions or instructions. Yeah, instructions. And if you click on that, you'll be given instructions on some of the things you could do here with some authorities you have. The only people who can see that page are the state coordinators. Nobody else can see that. But anyway, when you click on that, a couple of things that is very important for you to know right away. The first item is how to register a county into National Liberty Alliance Directory and to be counted as a constituted county. If you look to the right of our page, you'll see towards the top on the right side, you'll see it says counties, and it's got 3,142 counties. I think that should be 3,143, but I'll go back and double-check that later. And you'll see right at this point we have 26 counties constituted. Now, we have a lot more counties than that. I'm not sure exactly how many. But this has been reset since last week because it is now counting specifically when we check a box. Those counties will be automatically counted and will will come up here, and a number of constituted counties will appear. It's up to the state coordinator to update on our page when a county becomes constituted. And so those states who do not have state coordinators, you go to our state page. Well, actually, you go to our contact page. You highlight, put your cursor over contacts, and click on state coordinators. And if you don't have a state coordinator in there, maybe you might want to consider volunteering. Even if it's only temporary, even if you're only taking it for a while, maybe you don't really have the time or you can't really do it, or you, for some reason or another you don't want to do it, but you're willing to do it for a while until we get another state coordinator, that'll be fine. Once we get a state coordinator, that state coordinator could give authority to two other co-state coordinators. We'll talk a little bit more about how that's get done. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But right now, tonight, I want to just quickly go through how a state coordinator puts on the constituted counties. And again, you go to states, highlight the states, come down to instructions, click on instructions, and the first item you'll see how to register a county into National Liberty Alliance directory and count it as a constituted county. Now, the National Liberty Alliance directory is not cannot be seen by anyone. It is a page that has been created, but we didn't post it yet as live. We'll do so later on because we want to confuse people on the difference between that list and the actual contact list. We want people to go to the contact list. That directory really is going to start to come to play when we have many of the grand juries constituted throughout the nation. And that's when it's going to come to play. And we start to get some authorities in the courthouses, and then that's when that list will be there. Now, that'll list out, obviously, all 50 states, and each state will have all its counties. And whenever a state coordinator puts in the information and checks the box to highlight for a constituted grand jury, it not only counts on the right, but it also puts that county, that county becomes live on the directory. There's also a place there to put a phone number. Now, that's a hotline phone number. Every grand jury needs to get a hotline phone number. And that hotline phone number needs to be a number that can be moved around. So it's got to be a follow-me service. We do have a follow-me service here on our webpage up at services. If you click on services, and you can click on our follow-me phone services, and you can get those services there. By using those services, that we get a few cents or a few dollars off of every bill that you get, and that helps to support National Liberty Alliance. And they don't charge you any more or less than they normally would. It's a pretty good deal, I think, and we just get a little piece, a small percentage. But anyway, as you get your phones, and those phones, you know, they'll cost between $14.95 and $19.95 a month. If there are four administrators, you know, you can split that monthly. It's about $5 a piece. But once we become constituted, once we get access into the courts and we apply for our budgets with the controller, those phones will be paid for, and we also will get reimbursed for whatever monies we have put out. And that would be true on anything that we've put out. Anybody who's gone out to buy the stamp, you know, the seal, I think that ran about $45 or $50, you know, we'll be reimbursed for that. Any of our expenses that we have had doing this process of constituting the grand juries and operating the grand juries, those expenses will be, you know, eventually paid for, will be budgeted for. So we'll be in reversed. But anyway, real quick, state coordinators, they go to this page, and the instruction tells you how to do this. You know, you sign into National Liberty Alliance, you place your cursor over the states, and then you go click on your state, you click on edit, you scroll down until you see the grand jury counties. You got to be very careful that you don't make any changes than what you are being instructed to change. You put a checkbox in the county that has been constituted, and do not put a name in there. We're going to remove that name box because this directory is only going to have the county and a number. It's not going to have a name there because we don't know who the phone's going to go to. This is a phone that gets revolved around four people. They take turns answering that phone. It's a follow me phone. You can send it to your desk or you can send it to your cell phone or whatever you want to do. But someone will always be there to answer the phone during normal business hours. So we don't want to put a name there. We'll remove that box. So anyway, and with this follow me phone, we'll do well with that. But as you go through this list and you check off all the boxes of all the counties that have been elected within your state, then you scroll all the way down to the bottom and you click save, and then they should register in the places that we had spoken. And that's all that's to it. It's nothing really difficult. But anyway, those instructions are there on that instruction page right under states. We also give some instructions on how to mass email everyone in your state. So all the state coordinators can do mass emailing. We ask that you don't abuse that. Do not send lots of email. Maybe a couple of emails a week. One of the things you might want to send out on a weekly basis, sometime during the week or right before our meeting, is to remind everyone to come to our Monday night call. We also have some instructions on how to download an Excel sheet with all the state members on it. You get the phone numbers and the email and another address. Now, that is not to be shared with anyone particularly. That's only for the state coordinator for the use of making contact and helping the organizers to organize. Now, if you're running an election, it would be up to the state coordinator to send out the email to the people in the state of an election taking place in a particular county and asking for all those who could come and support that election to come and so on and so forth within that state. Not necessarily just the county, but the whole state. I know many of us in New York, we go and support other counties. I go to almost all the elections, and some other people also do. They try to make as many as they can. And remember, we're not really electing a grand jury. We're not electing jurists. We're electing the process. And therefore, we're constituting a grand jury. The people are coming together, and they're agreeing on a grand jury and also a common law grand jury and common law juries to reinstate them back in their counties and therefore in their state. So once a grand jury is constituted within the state, one person in that, one of the leaders of that county, will be given a copy of the Excel sheet anytime they need it so that they can have a list of all the people within the state. All they have to do is ask the state coordinator for that, and they'll give it to them anytime. Later on, we'll do something a little different. Right now, people can have two or three state coordinators as we're organizing. Once the state is completely organized, we only want to move back to one state coordinator. At some time in the near future, every county, one person from every county will be given a code to get access into the list direct, so they don't have to go through the state coordinator for that. But we'll work out those details later, and there's some other things we're just not going to get into tonight. But I did want to cover those couple of items, and I do want to encourage all of the state coordinators to get out there as soon as possible and start checking off the counties that have been elected so we can kind of start to see how many counties here in, throughout the nation have been constituted. So, all right, with that, I want to then just jump through a few things and we're going to talk about our state plan. It is extremely important that we become educated. You know, I say this often, and I say it at least once every week, what Jefferson's quote, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Everybody, it's up to all of us Only the people can save America. We need to start boning up on common law. We need to bone up on the access to the courts. We need to bone up on how this process works. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and give sort of an overview on how that process works. But to become an expert in this, to really understand everything about what we're talking about, how the process works, what common law is all about and how common law works, you need to start studying. Everything you need to know is on nationallibertyalliance.org, everything. And if you go to the Juris tab, that's where you start off. Click on the Juris tab itself, right on the top, the main tab. And when you get to that page, it'll give you, it's an introduction. And it'll just give you an introduction to what we're doing and the principles that we need to develop and the maxims we need to pay attention to and understand and know. And it gives some quotes of the founding fathers and so on. But it lays out a plan, what to do, okay? People have got to be studying every day. Look at these are subjects that we have not received ourselves, you know, civics, ethics, true American history, court access, the political process. We have never been taught these things. We're ignorant to those things. We should have been getting a classical education when we went to school. We didn't get a classical education. We got a slave's education. They taught us all the things necessary for a slave to know and nothing more. The last thing you want to teach a slave is to give him the intellectual weapons to free himself, because knowledge is power. And the knowledge that we have here on nationallibertyalliance.org will definitely free you. This is the knowledge that you need in order to understand liberty, to take your heritage. And you cannot have liberty and you cannot have your heritage unless you study and understand these things. It's just an impossibility. You can't have it. So at bare minimum, people should be spending an hour a day on our website. Bare minimum. And that's not enough, really. You need to be spending a lot more than that. You know, sometimes maybe you on a weekend, maybe you can spend 4 or 5 or 6 hours and really get some good stuff going and understanding. Like anything else in life, you just not need to be exposed to it. And the more you're exposed to this information, to history, to all the things that we have to teach here, the more you are exposed to it, the more you'll absorb. And at some point, it'll just start spilling out of your mouth, because that's the nature of human beings. That's just the way it is. Just a quick run through the Juris tab. After you read through that page on the Juris tab, the drop-down box off that Juris tab has a number of different pages. We have jurist orientation. If you haven't read the Juris tab, you need to read it now. When this program's over, you need to read it. Or tomorrow morning, or tomorrow when you get home from work, you need to read it if you haven't read it. You know, I get a lot of people asking a lot of questions, how to do this and how to do that. And I can tell they haven't read. And that's okay asking the questions. Maybe they did read and they kind of just missed something. So questions are good and we'll give answers. But we really got to boat up on this stuff. We got to read. Don't think that some people write an email and they ask these questions, and I just can't respond to those questions. I don't have the time to. But I'm here on Monday nights to take those questions and give answers the best I can and to direct people where some of those answers are. So anyway, under this tab, we have jurist orientation. If you haven't been through that, you need to go through that. That's about, 3 to 4 hours long. It's almost all video. I think it's all video. So, you know, you can get through that pretty easily just by watching videos. We also have some videos on slavery by consent. Excuse me. We need to understand how we've become slaves by consent. Every time we walk into a courtroom with a ticket or some kind of, where you might get a fine or even facing a little jail time in a county jail or something, it's all by consent. You're a slave to these people by consent. You have to reject. You have to resist. You have to say no. I'm going to tell you that every judge knows that they have to get your consent. They cannot go forward unless they get your consent. They will try to push you towards, try to get the court to move towards a competency hearing, and you won't let it go that way. Anybody gets involved in this, we do have a paper we can share with you, which is very simple, and you can just hand it into the judge, put your own information down. If you study the paper, you know what the answer to all the questions are. Bring the paper with you and read the answers. But push that judge. Do not let that judge put in a decision for you. If he says, well, I'll just enter a not guilty plea. Well, thank you, Your Honor. I guess that means I can leave. The court has made a decision that I'm not guilty. Thank you very much. And see if you can walk out. See what happens. Because he can't make that decision for you. He can't give consent for you. So you need to understand that. We have a video or two here on why we must act quickly. These are videos that's going to wake you up and hopefully motivate you. We have the 5,000-year leap. We have the complete 5,000-year leap in PDF form. You could read it if that's what you want to do. And we also have it on audio. So you can listen to it through MP3s. You can put it on the MP3 player. As a matter of fact, a lot of these audios you should download and put them on your MP3 players. Listen to them when you're driving. Listen to them when you're doing mindless things, if you're exercising, whatever the case may be. Listen to them over and over again, and you'll become very familiar with them. Questions and answers. All these questions and answers up there right now is in audio. Short MP3s. Some of them, I know the longest might be 30 minutes, but some of them are maybe 15 minutes or 10 minutes, questions and answers. And they're by subject matter, they're listed, and we'll be adding to that as time goes on. But there are questions there, and there are answers there, and there may be questions you have. Trial by jury, by Lysander Spooner. A must read or a must listen to. Again, we have this in PDF form. You can read it, and we have it up there in audio. You can listen to it. Download it into your MP3 player. How to start a grand jury, or how to start a jury. Many people ask me, how do you start a jury? And just go here. It'll explain it to you. If there's anything that isn't clear, if there's any errors, that's when you can give me a call, or that's when you can come to a Monday night program here and ask the question, and we'll answer it. It's best to do here because, 10 people might have the same question. And so if you ask a question, we may be answering 10 people. Or maybe answer questions that people didn't even think about. Now they know the answer. We have the state plan, and this is a must read. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is our state plan. But we have that state plan right up here on the page. Click on the tab. It's in detail. Lays out exactly what we need to do and what we need to be doing and when we need to be doing it. Now, one other tab that is extremely important, and I want to tell you, every tab on this website is important. People should become familiar with this entire website. You should start with the welcome page, read right through it, and just go through all the pages. Just read through the pages and get to the next one, the judicial, the political, the documents, the issues, the contacts, the news, the services, the states, and the jurists. Just read through the stuff like a book. You could skip the audio, skip the video, and you'll come back to that. Just get familiar with the website. But an important page is the jurist page, judicial page. First off, of course, is the jurist page. That primes you really for the judicial page. In the judicial page, we have American history. We have lectures on American history, quite a few of them. We have a constitutional class that's given by Bodnarik, Michael Bodnarik. We have common law classes that's given by a couple of people, particularly most of it is given in lecture form. Each lecture is about 8 hours long, and it's by Bill Thornton, common law lectures. We have Bible studies, lots of Bible studies. We also have the Bible. You can download the Bible for free. You can listen to the Bible be read to you. We have topical studies. We have a study on all four Gospels. They're non-denominational. It has nothing to do with churches or anything. It's just the Bible. We have what happened to the Constitution. Again, this is something that everybody needs to go in and take a look at. We have court case examples. We have law notes. We have U.S. Supreme Court daily decisions. That's an RSS feed. We have their recent decisions. That's an RSS feed. We started to put up state election laws. All of the state coordinators need to be sending me their state election law. Go to your state and look for the website for your state, and somewhere on that state site should be a PDF copy of the election law. Download a copy and send it to me, or send me the link and I'll download it myself directly off that website. Now we have, let's see what else we have here. We have court access course. We wrote a book on how to access the courts. And you go through this book, and it lays out everything, you know, how to write the paperwork, what papers are required, what is it you have to serve, how to serve, how to make a motion. Again, this is a must for people who are trying to understand how the court system works, and everyone should be able to go to court by themselves, especially in a common law court. We have law libraries all across the nation listed here. We also have them on the state pages, but we have law libraries all across the nation, and you can get to them by state. We have Supreme Court cases a lot of Supreme Court cases that I've collected over the years, I put them up here. If anybody has an important Supreme Court case that needs to be shared, you know, send me a copy of that in PDF, and we'll post it up here. And we have the state constitutions. Take a look to see if your state constitution is here. If it's not here, someone should go out and find it and send it to me by email. Get a PDF copy or send me the link where I can download a PDF copy of your state constitution, and we'll get it up here. We need to get all the state constitutions up here. So go see if your state constitution is here or not. Okay, so those are the two major tabs that people really want to look at. There's a lot more, but these are the two tabs definitely everybody should be focusing in on. We need to be absorbing this information, but we need to understand what this process is and how this works. Now, getting to the state plan. it's very important that we understand the state plan. Now, I know they had a meeting out in Colorado this past week, and they were looking at things and thinking about things and trying to figure out what to do. And I spoke with Steve out there. He's a state coordinator for Colorado, and I told him I'd talk a little bit about this. They came up with the idea of coming together as a collective group. I'm trying to think of the word. Supreme Court. We did the same thing. It's a unified. That's the word I was looking for. Unified common law grand jury. Every state should be talking about becoming a unified common law grand jury. On our state page, on the jurist tab, on the state plan page, we explain how it is we came about calling ourselves a unified common law grand jury. You know, we knew at some point we were going to come together, and we were thinking of what to call it. We were thinking maybe like the super grand jury or something like that, because when all the counties come together as one to focus in on a problem, that's power. That's power. When you can put every single county down there. And when we were dealing with Prudente, the Supreme Court judge down in Manhattan, who's supposed to be one of the top judges, the administrative branch, Prudente is second in line, and also there's another guy above her, and we indicted both of them, by the way. But we saw, when we looked at their website and looked at their paperwork, they called themselves the Unified New York State Supreme Unified Supreme Court. That's what they called themselves. And we realized that New York State has really only one court system, one Supreme Court system, but it has 62 locations, one location in every county, which makes sense. It has 62 courthouses because you've got millions of people to deal with, and each courthouse has at least one elected judge. And there's an appellate court, which is also a Supreme Court, and there's a Court of Appeals, which is also a Supreme Court. So collectively, they are one. They are a unified court system. So we realize that we are one grand jury. You know, our boundaries are not the boundaries of the county line. I'm in Dutchess County, and we have the Dutchess County Common Law Grand Jury, and we will supply a grand jury for our court in our county, and we will also put, so, you know, supply the trial jury for our court in our county. Of course, we the people, you know, we will orientate them. We will teach them what they need to know before they go in to be jurists. So we'll give them 4 to 8 hours of orientation before they do what, you know, their job. Now, each county, of course, has its own grand jury. At least that's what we're establishing, 62 of them. But we are one. Dutchess County, we can indict anybody in any county, any place in New York, anywhere. We can come together with other grand juries, and we can sit on each other's grand jury. And for the very, very important things, the things necessary to bring this republic in New York and in your state back to where it belongs, those are the grand juries that we need to sit on, those of us who are the individuals who are doing the investigations. We're calling ourselves administrators, okay? 4 administrators for every county. And when we come together as a whole, as a state, those 4 administrators should be those individuals sitting on that grand jury, or one of them at least, bare minimum one, okay? And in order to discuss and decide what exactly we need to do. Because we're on the front line, and we've become a little educated on the problems of the nation and of our state, a lot more than the general public, generally speaking, anyway. So we should be doing that. But other than that, when we bring grand juries together, we should be establishing a grand jury, going through our jury pool, and going through, when we exhaust that, we'll go through the election list, you know, the registry for the election. And we won't look at Republican, Democrat, conservative, or no party, or whatever party. We're not going to look at that. We'll just pull people off there. And then we'll orientate them and then send them in to be the grand jurist or the jury. Now, the 4 administrators, as I've mentioned numerous times, you're not grand jurists, you're administrators. You are a board or an investigative body sent out by the grand jury to report back to them. That's what you are. You're the administrators of the grand jury. You get to participate in all these things when you go out and investigate. You get the opportunity to investigate. You get the opportunity to write a prescription on how they can fix their problem, and that's what we're interested in doing. Not interested in going out on a witch hunt and bringing people in to have them indicted and getting all these court cases going. We're there to fix the problem. And as long as people are willing to work with us, we're not to be too busy about looking at their past sins. We need to be focusing ahead and making friends and getting people in line to do the right thing. So if they're willing to fix it, then they'll fix it. We've got the right to prescription. I think most of the cases will go that way. If not, then we bring it before the grand jury. We get to bring that information to the grand jury. If the state brings something to the grand jury, then one of the administrators must be there at all times All four of them can be there. Whenever the prosecutor is going to speak to the grand jury, because we need to make sure that they don't abuse the grand jury and try to intimidate the grand jury or direct the grand jury. That's not their job. Their job is to produce the case to the grand jury, nothing more. And the grand jury needs to make a decision whether they're going to indict or not. And the grand jury, before even making a decision to indict, needs to continue the investigation further than what the prosecutor has given. And they need to talk with the injured party. And, of course, if there's no injured party, there's no case, dismissed. But they need to talk to the injured party, find out if there's any way that we can fix this without having to take this person to trial, try to come to a solution. Then we can go to the accused party, and if we believe that we're going to indict them, we can say, hey, look, you know, we think you're guilty. We're going to indict you, but look, if you want, you can make a deal out, you know. If the person's not guilty, they should probably insist, no, I'll go to trial. But I think we can settle a lot of problems that way. I don't think we have to send everyone into a trial court. If it's a violent crime, it's a different story. Now, as far as, the prosecutor is concerned, the prosecutor is not to make deals with the injured party. Well, they don't make deals with the injured party. Well, they try to make deals and intimidate the accused. And we can't allow that to continue any longer. That has got to stop. They don't have the authority to make a deal. They don't have the authority to do away with an indictment if we decide to go forward. They can't make a deal with the defendant. Only the grand jury can make a deal with the defendant, and we need to understand that. If we can't settle the problem, we send it into the trial jury, and they get the whole they go through the whole thing, and they'll figure out what has to be done. But for right now, and probably a very important point here, this is not a time for talking or getting involved in indictments. This is a time to organize. This is a time to learn. This is a time to work together within your state to focus in on one county, whichever you think might be the best place that you have the best opportunity, to work to try to get a seat in the grand jury in a particular county. And you might want to work at a couple of counties. But this is the plan. This is the focus. Until we get a seat in the grand jury, you can't indict anyone. And it would be really a big danger and a big mistake for any group to go and try to get a room outside of the court and to try to start going through indictments when they are not even recognized as a grand jury. We have to first get recognition. Recognition comes with when they allow us to come into the courthouse to take a seat. Now we are recognized. Now we have authority. Now we have power. Now anything you say is it. And nobody will get in the way of it. Nobody, when you get to that point. We only need to get one county in every state. That's all we need to do. If we win that battle in any county, we've won the war in that entire state. Because the next county over, if that judge or some court clerk or somebody is trying to prevent the grand jury in that county from coming in to have authority, we can come and confront them from another county with authority that has a seat in the grand jury and let them know in no uncertain terms, we're going to take this to the grand jury and we're sure they're going to indict. And that's another thing. You can't threaten people with indictments. You can only say, you know, that you're going to take it to the grand jury to consider for indictment. You can't go and investigate and tell people they're going to be indicted if they don't behave themselves and obey. So that's something that only the grand jury can do, and we can't speak on behalf. You know, four people can't speak on behalf of the 25 without first coming together with the 25 and knowing exactly what the 25, what the will of the 25 is. Now, you know, we've had meetings where we've made decisions as a grand jury, you know, we're going to do A, B, C, or D. And if they do B, then we're going to do C. So, you know, we kind of know what's going on, but we don't speak as if we do. That happens only if we, like with the mandamus. That was the grand jury talking directly to the judge. That was the grand jury talking directly to the clerk. And we let them know in that mandamus that if they don't obey, they're going to get indicted. That's the decision. They are being indicted. And so that's where we are in New York with that. So again, you know, this state plan, people need to go out here. You need to read this. Anybody who's doing anything in any way, anywhere, with what they're learning from here through us, they need to understand all parts of this. They need to read these things. They need to read the plan. It gets into the detail of exactly what we need to do. We need to organize. We need to get communications going between all of the county leaders, and the state coordinator has to coordinate all that and keep things going and building up more and more leadership in different counties. We need to be consistent in everything we do and everything we say, you know, in the way we act. All the counties should be consistent, and we should pray for discernment and virtues. And without knowledge, we can't have any of this. So we really have to work through these things. We have to spend our time understanding these things. And the only way you're going to do that is to get down into the books here, start reading, and start watching the videos and listening to the audios. And I want to tell you, most of what we have is videos and audios. It should be pretty easy. But we do have a lot of reading material also, and people who really like to read. Unfortunately, I meet very few people that like to read. But those who really like to read and prefer it over the audio, we have a lot of the stuff in writing also. So we must first form a statewide alliance. We must pull all the county leaders together. You should be meeting as often as possible. I don't know how often that should be. You have to decide. And you should be, the focus of meetings should be on organizing. That's what your focus of meetings should be, organizing and planning on the next grand jury. How are we going to get these other counties that haven't been elected? Let's go look for leadership there. Work together. Get your state organized. Get an elected grand jury in every county, because that is power. And get to know each and every member in each and every county of your state. Get to know each other by first name. Have a couple of physical meetings at least a couple of times a year. You know, maybe once every 6 months, pick a place and meet there. And everybody should do everything they can do to get to that meeting so that we can get to know each other and work together, learn how to be consistent. We have to get this knowledge. Now, we've got a lot of information on this page, and it explains all this stuff. It also lays out the budget and what the specifics are, how we're supposed to go through the process. We need to go out and talk to the Supreme Court justices within your county. We need to have a conference with each one of them to discuss the law of the land, to make sure they understand we are a republic, and that the people demand obedience to the common law and to their constitutions. We need to give them a copy of the handbook. You can download that handbook. It's under Juris. It's on Juris Documents. And that was a page I missed, Juris Documents. We write papers on specific subject matters that everyone should know. You'll find them on the Documents page under Juris. We have another Documents page. You know, it's a document drop-down. There's a lot of stuff there, too. But the important stuff for everyone to really digest right now is under the Juris tab, under Juris Documents. You need to know all those documents. You need to read through them. If you haven't read through them, go read through them. Print them out and read through them, but read through them. If you don't know that stuff, you're not qualified. You know, some people think that they've done a little studying here or there, and they may think they know what to do. I want to tell you something. I've been quite surprised. We've been researching to figure out how this stuff goes. But this is nothing we're making up. This is research. We're giving you all of our research, all of our understanding and knowledge that we've accumulated through our research. We're putting it here on a website. We did our due diligence. We're walking with a lamp upon our feet. We're sure-footed. And the last thing you need to do is to make the mistakes that many others before us have made. They don't understand. They may understand something about common law, but they don't understand the process, the procedures, the psychology of these people. Every judge knows they're a con artist. I'm convinced of that. Every judge knows it's a game. It's smoke and mirrors. They're conning you. They're tricking you into their jurisdiction. Every judge knows it. They're guilty. And we have to realize that. We have to confront them. We need to find people in each of our states that really have done their homework in common law and really, and they're not just speaking out of their rear ends here, they're really talking out of knowledge, out of research. And we need to find those people. They will emerge if we look for them. And they need to mentor us. They need to give us the understandings and lead us in the beginnings until we can all develop those skills. We, the people, have got to stand up, and we have to do what we have to do. And we have a lot of homework to do, and we need to get busy, and we need to get busy now. There is no more time left. My goodness, we're coming out of January into February soon. We're halfway through January. The clock is ticking. There isn't much time. Anyway, we have a plan. You got to read it. I want to encourage everyone to start reading these papers and come back on a Monday night with questions. All of the state coordinators, it's your job to make sure that all the county coordinators get to these Monday night meetings. If you're not coming to these Monday night meetings, they're not becoming educated. They don't know what they're doing, and they're wasting everybody's time, and they're not going to be prepared to do the job that's necessary to do. Now is the time for learning. We still have time. We have to organize. While we're organizing, we could be learning. You know, Bill Thornton said many times, there's nothing more frightening than ignorance in action. And I want to tell you something. As much as we think we're here to save the republic, to save the nation, to save America, there's nothing more frightening than people in action with power. If we're ignorant, we're not going to know the right thing to do. If we don't develop the virtues from God, if we don't develop a sense of honor, a sense of justice, a sense of mercy, we're not going to be doing the right thing. We need patience and understanding. And that's something not many people have. So I got to believe majority of us don't have that. We need to develop that. We need to get that. We need to pray for that. We need to have it. If we don't have it, we're going to lose America. We have to be merciful. All right. You know, there's a lot more to talk about, but I think that's about it for right now. I think we're going to open up the phone lines for anybody who has any questions or comments. Gerard, I don't know if you're here. If you are, maybe pipe up. But we have quite a few people in our Blog Talk Radio Room. Let me go take a quick look to see if we have many people on our website. Yeah, this thing's moving very slow tonight. Mike, okay, we've got quite a few people on our website, too. Hopefully things are holding up out there. Hopefully we're coming
hey,
through.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Things are working out. I can hear you now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. I got in late, had some problems here, and I got in, you know, just personal problems. Yeah, I'm here. Listen.
How's things going in the chat room on our site? Is it okay there?
Yeah, it's all right. People are asking questions. I mean, some people, like you say, don't have patience, and they're discouraged because they don't see a lot of people. First of all, the chat room.
Well, I don't know what they mean if they don't see a lot of people. I see lots of people.
Well, they see 23 people in a chat room, and they think that's all that's on the call. They don't understand how the call works. They don't understand there's three chat rooms running. There's phone calls. That number, 23, doesn't mean anything. We can have 223 people on the call, and it won't show in your chat window.
Right.
So, you know, just because there's 23 people doesn't mean this thing is doomed to fail, like somebody said out there. Right.
Well, yeah,
we
don't need any doomsaying. You know, we have about 48 callers too, so we should get to these calls. Not all of people are calling to ask questions, but there are some people here with questions. You're gonna have to keep an eye in the text chat. We don't need naysayers. We are moving in leaps and bounds faster than I ever could have imagined.
Listen,
and,
you got Bill Schneider out here. And he's doing something with statutes, and he thinks the statutes are the answer. He says you were reinventing the wheel; just use the statutes. He doesn't know.
He must be a lawyer.
They're using lawyers, and he thinks the statutes are going to save him. He doesn't realize when they get down to the wire, when push comes to shove, they're going to turn around and they're going to say you have no standing because under the statutes you don't have standing. They can pull them right out. You have them when they want you to have them, and you don't have them when they don't want you to have them. So if you're going to do anything earth-shattering and you think you're going to do it with a statute, let me tell you what, that rug is going to be pulled right out from under you right at the last minute because they've done it to us. We've done it before. It depends on what you're fighting for and what it is, but they ultimately, you don't have rights when you're under statutes. You don't have common law, and they are the king at that point. Yeah, we've used statutes in one case, but believe me, if it's a large case, they're not going to let you win on a statute because they're just going to say you have no standing. And I mean that's
yeah,
the way
statutes,
I understand it.
Statutes control the behavior of people. The only purpose of statutes, the only legal purpose of statutes, is statutes written to control the bureaucrat, the elected individual, the appointed individual, the hired help of government. That's what statutes are for. Statutes are their policies and procedures, their code, and is also punishments, sometimes jail punishments, sometimes fines for individuals who disobey those statutes. Statutes are also for some commercial things that we've given some legislative powers to the legislators for certain things. And, of course, they've gone overboard, and we have to fix that. But statutes have never been, should never be, anything to control the behavior of an individual, of a people, ever. You know, you don't need a driver's license to drive. Although you go out there and drive without a driver's license and you get caught, and some states will arrest you. Some states it's jail time. Some states will just give you a fine. But that's illegal for them to stop you and require you to have a driver's license. A driver's license is only for commercial use. Now, people who believe in statutes, they believe in that. I know when we learned law through jurisdictionary. And in that process of learning law, we were taught by a lawyer. So we took things with a grain of salt, but we did see the views of a lawyer. The guy was a pretty good guy, though. And he did talk about the Constitution, but he taught us or tried to teach us what they're taught in law school. You don't need to go to the Constitution. You don't need to do all the statutes that will bring you to the same place. Well, that's a pack of lies, because statutes will take you to the wrong place constantly. Yeah, there's some good statutes out there sometimes, and we can use them because we can call that, anoint them under our common law within our courts and when we're doing battle. But the last thing we want to do is have statutes that will codify the Constitution. Yeah? Mm-hmm. What was that?
And when they violate their own statutes, it comes in handy to ram them down their throat. That's the other use of statutes. When
right.
they violate their own statutes, and you know the statutes, you can ram them down their throat. That's pretty handy.
And
but
we
don't,
can use the statutes to control
right.
them, because the statutes are written to control them. So we'll use them for that purpose. But no way is a statute written to control
Bill
us.
Bill wants to know what results we've had with our common law grand jury, because it's common law, and how come we haven't had any results. I just want to say we have put our flesh on the line here in New York. We just gave them the Corwanto. We're going to go into the sheriff and demand that he arrest them.
We gave them the
mandamus. We gave them the writ of mandamus, but we're going to go in and we're going to swear affidavits and require that he arrest them,
right.
not demand, require. There's a difference. You know,
let me just say to those people who are naysayers and they don't believe in what we're doing, you should just leave. This is for people who really want to get this country back. Anybody who thinks there's any other way to bring back our nation, any other way to save the republic within your state, well, you got a pipe dream going. because there is no other way. We've looked for every way. There's no political way. You can't go into courts and argue. We've tried that. We've tried arguing with the statutes and with common law and in the Supreme Court. We discovered that all Supreme Courts are nisi prius courts, so we have a whole new plan now how to deal with them. But and we haven't been able to test that completely yet. We're in that process of testing a new way of doing things. But nevertheless, you know, you can't the state won't obey you. You can't get the courts to make them obey you. You can't get political power. You can't convince your elected individuals to do the right thing. You go and march in Washington. You don't get anywhere. You know, people are complacent. Their apathy is set in deep, and we have the solution. Our founding fathers gave us the solution when they created this nation, and it's called common law and the power of the people through the grand jury and the trial jury. That's where our power is. So anybody who disagrees with that, if you're here just to start trouble or to disagree with that, you know, just leave. You know, if you have a serious question on how we might do something, you know, we'll address that. But, you know, we have a lot of audio. We have a year's worth of audio laid up on our past issues. You can go right up on Blog Talk and listen to them all. We go back over a year. And we've covered a lot of subject matter. We've covered a lot of territory. We've answered a lot of questions. And we continue to answer questions. And we continue to bring up new territory. And to train and teach people to the best that we can so that we can help them empower themselves. Because the people have to become empowered, and the people have got to step up, stand up, and take control of their nation, of their state, of their county, right in their hometown. That's where it starts. It's all grassroots. It's where the rubber meets the road, in your local courtroom. And we will take all the courtrooms throughout the entire nation. You must do it in your county. Take control of all the courtrooms and bring them back under justice. That's the only way we're going to win this thing back. And so anyway, let's go and take some questions and comments and go from there. I guess we'll start off with 717-475. You should be hearing. You're unmuted. You got the mic. 717-475.
Hello, John. This is Jesse from PA.
How you doing, Jesse?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
I just got two quick things. I was trying to use the new website on my Android smartphone, and I was trying to go to, like, where the Jurist link or any of the main menu items are, and how they have it on my Chrome browser. I haven't tried a different browser. Maybe I need to try to use a different browser. But on my smartphone, Galaxy 3, using Chrome, when I want to go down to the sub,
go ahead.
Sorry. When I want to go to, like, you know, one of the items under the Jurist tab or any of the other tabs, I can't click on any of those tabs.
All right, I'll bring that up to our tech. I don't know if our tech's listening in right now, but if he is, I'm sure he's taking a note. But I'll bring that up to our tech and ask them if there's anything that we can do on our end. I do know, you know, we chose a particular platform called Drupal for numerous reasons. It's a very widespread, well-used program, and I believe it has the ability to work on most platforms. I thought all, but at least most. I will find out. I do, yeah.
I wanted to show somebody how to have a grand jury in their county, how to start a grand jury in your county, in that video that was there. So I went to the, I logged on, and I was able to see the Jurist tab, because if you don't log on, you can't see the Jurist tab. And then, you know, how, like, if you just hover over it, all those other items come up that, you know, like the plan and all the other things that are
how
underneath
how many times
the
have you tried to do that?
Two or three times today, maybe one or two times the other, like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was wondering, maybe it could have been just down. You know, there's been times I went on and things just didn't work, and 5-10 minutes later I went and they were working. It was just that, you know, just a fluke or something, but so that happens.
I think what it is how they have it set up. Instead of, you know, it coming up as a you know, where you can see a menu of things, it's like, it's fancy where it kind of like highlights everything. And somehow with the Android phone and smartphones, you have to click on stuff. I think there's, some disconnect between the HTML code and the way they have their website set up. But hopefully, you know, because smartphones are, you know, a great way of being able to be mobile with what we're doing. And I like
all right,
the
well,
other
I appreciate
was,
that, and yeah. I'll bring it up to the tech and see once
okay.
what he has to say about it. So I don't have
appreciate
the, you know, the skill in that area to answer that. So anything else?
I just wanted to, yeah, there's one other thing quick. I was reading through the how to start a jury, and I saw a misspelling on that page. It says, when you have five or more counties, and it should be ready, and it starts with a B, B-E-A-D-Y, instead of R-E-A-D-Y.
All right. Yeah, I saw when I was reading tonight and looking at some pages, I was going through things, and I saw an error or two here or there also. So, yeah, we're still working on those, you know, those kind of things, and, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I know I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an issue. I just wanted to let you know that it was there.
Okay.
And that's the only things that I have right now. I have a state call-in that we set up in Pennsylvania using free conferencing. And hopefully, you know, the people that are here from PA will join us on our next call, which is coming up on the 12th.
Well, yeah, all state coordinators, you have to look at. I've discovered if you're not on the phones with people, talking with people, and doing things, people are falling asleep, and you just have lumps on a log. So we have to massage those lumps and make them move, and we have to make people commit. If they've made a commitment and signed up, they've made the first part of the commitment. Let's take them for their word that they want to get involved, and let's call them up and let's start getting them active. You know, there's a lot of things they may not be able to do. Some people, you know, may not may have just said, signed in and they just want to help a little bit. But those who signed up were to become coordinators, they need to become active, and particularly. But everyone needs to become active, really. And we need to work together. We need to be coming to these Monday night meetings. So it's up to the state coordinator to get these leaders, these county coordinators, county organizers, to the Monday night meeting. Now, there are some people who have things going on Monday night and they just can't make it. And so that being the case, then, you know, they can listen to the recordings. We do get a lot of people listen to the recordings. We probably get as many people listen to the recordings as we come on live, maybe even more, as a matter of fact. But the bottom line is we have to become active. And becoming active, we have these Monday night calls to try to get people active, to stimulate them, to bring a new focus, a new subject every Monday, and really get them thinking. We built this website to get interactive, a lot of video, a lot of audio. We got to get active. We got to get learning. So, yeah, you got to get the people here. And there are states we don't have state coordinators. We need state coordinators. You're running stagnant if you don't have a state coordinator really pushing and making things happen. That's the job of a state coordinator. And, you know, we broke New York State up into 1, 2, 3, 4 sections. I know other states have broken their state up in 2 or 3 or 4 sections, and you might need 2 or 3 or 4 coordinators. Well, we're able to oblige that now, and we can make 4 state coordinators if that's necessary. We try to only get 3, you know, but we'll do 4. And once the state is organized, then we'll pop down to 1 per state. And the county coordinators, the county organizers, they can kind of have a say to build the state, and they've been doing a good job. It makes all the sense in the world to keep that person, keep them doing the job that they started. So, however that could work. But, yeah, we need to get active. Let's get active. Anything else? We've got to move on to the next
That's
call.
Everything.
Okay,
thank you,
thanks. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. It's 248-393. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. 248-393. You got the mic.
Hello, John. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, fantastic. Thanks, John, and thanks for the fantastic job you're doing in leading the nation and the effort here. We really appreciate you. I had got in late. I got onto the call probably about 20 minutes late. So if you already went over this and I missed it, I apologize. But I'm just kind of looking for where we are. I know we served the mandamuses there in New York a week ago, Monday, I think, and have the judges respond? Is the sheriff committed to arrests? Have we had any arrests made? I mean, where are we in that process, please?
Well, the sheriff knows what's coming down next. They read the papers before they delivered it. We gave it to the sheriff to make the delivery. We know they all read the papers. Everybody's read the papers. We know that they're buzzing around New York. The phones have been ringing all week, probably, down into New York City to Prudente's office, and they're all, you know, scrambling around. But they haven't responded to us yet. We know that the sheriffs, served them on Tuesday instead of Monday. We thought they would serve them on Monday. There's no reason why they shouldn't have, but they served them on Tuesday. And so we're giving them till Tuesday of this week, which is tomorrow. And then we're going to start moving the second part of the process. So since we haven't started moving the second part of the process yet of this, we're not going to talk too much about it. Just that the second part of the process is exactly what was said in the mandamus. An indictment is coming down for those two individuals. We're sorry that we have to go after the clerk. We've done everything we could. All this clerk had to do was just say, you know, hey, all they had to do was just put it in and let the judge pull it out. All they had to say is that the judge won't let it in. Why should she put her own life on the line for this judge? I have no idea why they think they're going to do these things. But if that's what she wants to do, that's what she's going to do. So an indictment is going to come down after Tuesday, unless they respond, and then we're going to go for the arrest, bring the papers, the affidavits, and the law to the sheriff and demand an arrest. And if he doesn't do that, then he's probably going to end up under indictment himself. Gerard, could you want to talk about any of this?
Yeah, the clerk is kind of an unwitting, pawn in this game. She doesn't understand how they're using her. Now, they need her for sentimental value because they want to make us look mean and say, oh, look, they're arresting a poor clerk. Well, their poor clerk doesn't even have an oath of office like she's supposed to, and that reflects on her judge. How could, I mean, this is the Supreme Court chief clerk, and she's supposed to have an oath under the New York State Constitution, and she does not. This is how they run their courts. So she's been, you know, she's controlled by them, and they're telling her don't worry and all that stuff. But they're using her. I'm sure they're going to use her as media fodder to make us look mean. You know what I mean? So we're going to have to end up battling that. And, you know, of course, the judge has no excuse. Prudente has no excuse. This local judge has no excuse. My goodness, Prudente doesn't even answer. She has her attorney answer. What's that all about? You know, I mean, I thought judges were attorneys, and I thought judges told the law to attorneys, you know. So I know they're going to try to discredit us, and one of the things they're going to use to discredit us is that we're arresting the poor clerk who doesn't know anything, and that's actually a problem because she doesn't know anything, and she really should know more than she knows to be in that position. So, you know, and the fact that she doesn't have an oath, that shows that they're dysfunctional. And, I mean, the sheriff, he's not going to be real happy about arresting, but I don't see how he can't or that he won't because, you know, it's a process that he can't get around. But we won't talk about that right now. Fact of the matter is the indictment will go in, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, wouldn't you think even negative attention in the media, I mean, as long as we're standing on the Constitution and a matter of law, there can be no wrong in what we're doing. But any publicity at all to raise the awareness that, hey, we're out there moving and shaking might be good.
Well, that's up
well,
to the
that's
people,
why...
all the people to get that word out. We've been getting the word out, but they haven't been responding. But that's no surprise to us. You know, I've got 600 media leads.
They don't want to give negative attention.
Yeah, I have over 600.
Negative gets good. It's better than no media.
Right.
I have over 600
media. That's what I think.
It
just is going to bring an awareness to the public that we're here and we're moving. So I'm not really too worried about what they're going to say about us going after some poor clerk. That's going to raise in everybody else's mind, well, who are they? And that's really kind of what we want, I think. All
right.
I wanted to get an update on if you could, whenever that happens tomorrow or whenever the next steps happen, if you could put that up on the breaking news, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, as soon as we know what we're doing and what happens, and don't forget that, you know, things take a couple of days to really happen and do. You know, we have to get together and put our affidavits together. We have to go down to the sheriff together, talk with him, and we're going to try to collect as many people here in New York to go with us. We think we need, you know, I'd like to get a dozen people to go down there. So anybody from New York that's interested in going down to, well, up or down or across or to Greene County to help us with the sheriff when we confront him, you know, give me a call. Everybody's got my number. Give me a call and let's get organized. We're going to plan as if we're going to have to do that. Tomorrow's the last day. Tomorrow's Tuesday. At the end of the day, Tuesday, we're going to be planning. Well, we're going to be planning tomorrow to do what we have to do. By Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully, we'll be at the sheriff's office and talking with him. So that's the plan. I've sent out to over 600 media outlets throughout the state and throughout the nation. And I don't know if anybody's been printing these stories, but, you know, I'm putting the word out. It's up to everybody else across this country to put the word out what's going on in New York and what's going on in Florida. There's some big things going on down in Florida. I don't know if Hagen's on the line, but if he is, we'll get to him shortly, I hope. And, you know, maybe he can give us an update what's going on in Florida because they're making some headway. They're pushing some buttons down there. So we'll see how that goes. Pennsylvania, there's movement in Pennsylvania also. These are three states. Any one of these three states could break at any time, and we can get access into the courts and start springboarding the rest of the counties. And also, once a state gets in, a state can help another state, and we'll start putting the pressure on another state. We'll see how we can do that. And, you know, we have a guy that's been helping us with Facebook, and I'm trying to get the word out on Facebook. Anybody that's on Facebook, let's get the word out. Get people moving over to our Facebook and National Liberty Alliance on Facebook under John Duresh. Get them out there. Get them onto this website. Post. You know, I've got some groups that I've went out and you know, and I pushed the like button and the other one is to follow them. And I'm going to get out there and do some posting. Goodness, I don't know how many I got, but I got quite a few of them. But I'm going to do some posting on their, I guess they call it their timeline. Well, people should go to National Liberty Alliance on Facebook and look at the groups that we belong to. Go out to those groups and post a message about what's going on at National Liberty Alliance, how people need to come over and work with us to help save the nation, how we do have the solution, how we do have a way to get rid of apathy and to see new hope in the people being able to take back control of their nation again. So it's up to you people as much as anyone else to get the word out. And get us onto radio stations. I've been invited on a couple of radio stations that should be contacting me soon. I always go on radio stations. I've got a national radio station that I got to get to. I've been so busy. I should have gotten to them this week, last week, but I'll get to them this week. It's the Power Hour. And I understand they've got a big, big listening audience. And when we go out to them, I think we're going to get a big, big push on our website. So it's up to the people to get the word out. It's up to the people to save the nation. It's up to the people to step up and do what they got to do. If the people don't want to save America, then the people don't want to save America. We're going to find out real soon whether they want to save America or not. We've got the way to do it. Anybody that's been onto our website and has been poking around, they know this is it. This is it. Now, the question is, do you want to save America for yourself and your posterity? Do you want your children to live under Nazism, Marxism, or do you want America back? That's the question. So, you know, after this program tonight, people can go back to sleep for the rest of the week, and they can watch their TV on Monday, Tuesday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, and come back on Monday again and do absolutely nothing. Then they've given us the answer. They're not interested in saving America. Don't think the other guy is doing it. You got to do it. Anything
good,
else?
John,
we'll move to the next caller. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you very much. By the way, I'm excited about you being on the Power Hour. I'm familiar with that program, and that's going to be really big for us. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I think it's going to give us a real big boost. We've been nervous about that because until we got our website up and making sure it's working well, we didn't really want to go on it. We've been ignoring it for over a month. You know?
Wow. All right. Well, thank you, John.
If the site went down and we couldn't keep it up, we'd be dead in the water. So that's why we didn't go. All right. Let me move on to the next. Thanks for the call. Okay, next caller is 832-623. You just heard.
Hello, John.
Yes, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? Good. I'm doing good, and I'm glad that you mentioned, actually, the fact that I'm trying to help to get the word out.
Plug it better. You got the mic. Plug it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I've got some great news to share with you. As a matter of fact, I sent a message to Sheriff Mack. That that is one of the groups that I signed you up for, actually added you to, Sheriff Mack. And the good thing about it is Betty Hansen, I think she's the organizer of the group Sheriff Mack. And she won. And the good news is that she wants to learn more about the power of the grand jury. And
did you send it to our front page? Anybody that's on our call tonight that isn't too familiar with exactly what we're doing, you need to go to nationallibertyalliance.org, and on our front page is a video just a little bit down called "The Power of the Grand Jury." It's about 40 minutes long. And after you watch that video, you'll know exactly what we're doing and what we're all excited about, and you'll understand the power of the people to be able to save this nation.
Right.
Go ahead, Pankaj.
And another thing is that I think that every one of your listeners, what they can do is go to the Facebook page and on all those likes, those group organizations like Judicial Watch, the Three Percenters, Monsanto, and the list goes on and on, the exposing the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership, and the Global March Against Chemtrails and Geoengineering. The list goes on and on. And you got something like, I've even added more, the Patriot Coalition is another one that I've added. And groups like... supporters for General Valeri, like this grand march that is going to be coming up, and the National Liberty Alliance, Freedom Walkers, and Cosmic Voice, all they'd have to do is go, if they want to look up all these groups and all these organizations on the like pages, all they'd have to do is go to yours and basically add them themselves. And they can add themselves and just click join. And it's just like that, and click like, and they will get all the updates necessary, and they will get every opportunity to say something on their timeline or type something on their timeline advertising the National Liberty Alliance and how the common law or the grand jury is the only answer in terms of saving a republic, and signing up for the grand jury, and anybody can do it, and it's that easy.
I really appreciate that, Pankaj, and I appreciate the work you've been doing helping us out there on Facebook. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, just one more thing. I think you've got a great group, like you mentioned, Gerardo and Roger, and if you share this idea with them. And they're working with you with many other things. I know one time I participated in a conference call with the three of you, and I think there's a great group. There's a great potential to make this go viral, and I think using like Twitter, meetup.com, and being that you have 3 to 4 billion people who use Facebook, I think being that it is the largest social media, I think it is a great opportunity that anybody can do it.
Absolutely. And I think all the state coordinators, or that doesn't have to be the state coordinators, could be anybody within their state. Somebody
right.
should take the opportunity to go out to Facebook and create on their Facebook a group called, Your State, Liberty Alliance, so Florida Liberty Alliance, New Hampshire
right.
Liberty Alliance, Texas Liberty Alliance, whatever state you are, create right. that. Also, we've been talking for a long time. You know, we're on Meetup. We have nationallibertyalliance.org. It's on meetup.com/nationallibertyalliance. And we encourage
right.
Each state to develop a Meetup group and call it your state, national, you know, whatever your state is, Florida,
right.
Liberty Alliance. And everyone mm-hmm. should constantly be plugging in to National Liberty Alliance for the educational website. And you know, and what we have going on our website is just the tip of the iceberg of what we plan. You know, I got a lot of other ideas and a lot of things that I haven't spoken about yet or got into detail anyway about some of the things we can do. And I'm looking for other ideas because we have to make our website as interactive as possible, as educational
right.
and interactive and interesting as possible. And what can be more interesting
yeah.
than liberty, than our heritage?
Right.
What can be more interesting than that? Go ahead, Pankaj.
Right. And another thing is to form coalitions. I'll give you a good example. Take, for example, there is this, like 11 attorney generals have filed a lawsuit. I'm not sure if you've ever heard about it, against Obamacare. So there is action actually going behind the scenes. Take, for example, also Judicial Watch. They filed a lawsuit against NSA, the illegal spying, Obamacare, and now with this Benghazi news and the cover-up associated with it. So there are things happening, and it all boils down to forming coalitions with these groups that anybody can join. It's like the ones that I shared with you. I think what's impressive, the 13, 14 groups that I have added you to, and what you do is every time when you plug into your Facebook timeline is you get recent updates. And you can also post a comment and post something on their timeline and talk about the National Liberty Alliance and how the fourth branch and how it is a part of the fourth branch of government. And you don't have to march. The marching is not the answer. It's not about signing petitions. It's not about numbers on a petition because politicians, they don't care about that. They're bought and paid for, and it's not about posing with a bunch of signs. Rather than waste your time with that, there's only one solution, and it just takes 5 minutes to register, and that's a common law grand jury. Which is the answer, and it's all about giving power to the people. And I think if you market it like that, it can send a really powerful and a viral type of message.
All right, thank you, Pankaj, and I hope everybody out there listening is going to be doing something and get active and start putting the word out and also trying to get us on radio stations and just building us up, getting involved, organizing your state, organizing your county, getting involved. Let's save the nation. There is not much time left. Look, you got to get out onto our website and start watching some of these videos, you know, and again, why we must act quickly. Go to our jurist page and click on why we must act quickly. And if that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what's going to motivate you. Let's get moving. Forget the TV. You know, let's get reading. Let's get watching good videos for learning. Let's listen to audios and learn about common law and the procedures and the processes. Let's develop the skills necessary to save this nation. Well, you know, again, Thomas Jefferson, I say this all the time, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Forget about it. All right, thank you, Pankaj. Anything else quick before we move to the next one? Next caller?
Just check your Facebook page. I've added you to more groups and likes, and if you can share with the National Liberty Alliance and show how they can be included in the groups and add them and click like on them and get in contact with them and share the National Liberty Alliance. It's something that anybody can do. Everybody, in my opinion, should be a part of these groups.
All right, thank you very much. And yeah, I'll get out there. I'm going to try tomorrow to start going out there and putting messages up. So, thank you.
All right. Sure.
Okay, let's Excuse me. I still got a little bit of this cough left. It's been a long time. You know, before I move to the next caller, I want to bring something up that I had to do, and I thought about this before I did it, and I made the decision I had to do this. I had to remove someone from our website. Someone had joined us, and they became a leader, but they started talking that we really didn't have the solution, that the way we were doing it was wrong. And they started talking about pulling group people together, that they had pulled a lot of people together to do something different. And people can do whatever they want, and I'm glad for people to do whatever they want. But I think it's not right. It's wrong to come to this website, to our movement, and to rob the people and to deceive the people, because I truly believe what this person was doing is the wrong way to go about it. But again, you know, that's my opinion. And they can have their opinion too. But I decided I'm not going to tolerate someone who's going to come in and deceive us to become a leader within our group and then bring people into a different direction. As far as I'm concerned, they're the enemy at that point. At least they're using the ways of the enemy. It's deception. So anyway, people need to really start boning up on knowledge and working what we have to work, and let's get it moving. Okay, let's go to the next caller, 760-447. You got the mic, 760-447.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good. I got the same cough. It started in at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mine's been. Oh goodness, I think it was around Thanksgiving too. I've been sick for a long time. You know, I was really sick through Christmas and New Year's. You know, it was really horrible, but. I've been doing pretty good, but tonight, for some reason, it's acting up a little bit. By the way, who am I talking to? What's your first name and your state?
Joe, California, State Coordinator.
Oh, okay, Joe.
San Bernardino County.
All right.
Okay, first news is if any of the state coordinators are on, they really need to do the Sunday North Carolina meetup, because those guys show you how to be a state coordinator. And then the second item is that if for some reason, because I've been off of work for about 10 years trying to help my wife and everything, but I'm going to have to get back to work, and I'll probably be moving to Los Angeles to do that, maybe, opportunity. So I want to tell you that the next in line, as far as I know, because I've been working this, you know, since I've become aware of your group. The name is Carla. She's in Los Angeles. She could be the state coordinator, in my opinion, without any reservation on my part whatsoever. The other thing is, what I've been doing is I've been doing things and actually recording what I'm doing on your forum, our forum, under California. So everything I do, I try to put on there, and I try to create on the California forum places for any county organizer in California. Get on the forum, let everybody know in your county that's where you want to be, and that's where you want to focus your group to centralize your communications, if that's not something you're already doing on your own. So it's there, it's the framework, just like you're doing. I'm just copying what you're doing. But the other thing that I really need from my listening tonight to know is, if there is a sheriff and there is an order given to the sheriff to arrest somebody, to me, that is punishment. And there's the possibility that the person that you are punishing should have gone through trial by jury. And I can stop here. There's a whole lot more I can say, but I really need to understand where you're going, because I don't think that's right. I think that if there's a clerk or there's a judge, then you have to document very well along the line that you are leading up to a trial by jury. And then when it's trial by jury, you can even do it, I don't know the legal, you know, words, going back to Roman times, because English is actually a new language. So You have to trace trial by jury past English, and that's why people are using the Roman or Latin. But you have to get past all that and find the reasoning behind conducting a trial by jury that's done without the plaintiff. Well, I mean, not the plaintiff, but without the accused. Because the accused is like a beast. The accused has no conscience. The accused is running rampantly, doing really bad things, and has no intention whatsoever to do the right thing ever. So he's absent despite every effort by moral people to say to that person, come on, stop what you're doing. Let's solve the problems that you're causing in a moral way, in a nonviolent way. So maybe you can speak to me about, or maybe it's not a good idea because the concept of not letting what you've determined to be the enemy know that what they're doing what you're doing is going to be announced to them, and then so I understand what happens.
Yeah, let me respond to that. Yeah, I appreciate everything you had to say here, and I'm glad you're getting active and you're organizing and making meetings. That's what everybody needs to be doing. Every county should be working together inside their own counties and with the counties next door. The entire state should be working together. And eventually, we as a nation, all the states, should be working together. And that's, of course, what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to get us all on the same page, to get us unified, to get us focused, to get us educated, and to do the things we have to do. As far as what's going on in New York and what we've done, we have done everything we could to, we've rolled over backwards for the clerk. We've talked with the judge on numerous occasions. We've made phone calls to them. The judge refuses to answer the phone call, so we don't get a chance to talk to him on the phone, and that's his business. But we've written letters to him, and of course we did the mandamus. Before we did the mandamus, we did a quoanto, which is a demand. You know, it's a notice and demand, but it's coming from the king's bench. And the next step after the quoanto is the next extraordinary writ. Which is, of course, the writ of mandamus. Now, the writ of mandamus, we gave them another chance. They gave them a final chance. We spelled it out very specifically, what they needed to do. And we've laid out what we've offered them to do before and what they refused to do. We spoke to the clerk very directly that we'd like to give her mercy. You know, the investigating body felt that she was being used as a pawn. We expressed that to the grand jury. The grand jury responded back with the expression that they accept that as a truth and would like to give her mercy. But nevertheless, she has a duty to speak. She's in a position, and she doesn't want to be in that position to do the right thing and can't do the right thing. If she doesn't have the ability, she should not have taken that position. She needs to be sworn in. She was told that if she didn't get sworn in by the judge, and if the judge refused to swear her in, that she needs to go find another judge and get sworn in. And she needs to notify us of that she's been sworn in. And if she can't get sworn in by anybody, she should notify us. All we asked her to do is either put the paperwork in or let us know that the judge is behind this. She stays completely silent. She has a duty to speak. We told her she had a duty to speak. And she decided to be silent. And she still has another day. And we don't care if they're listening in. They may be very well on this call listening in. They'd be wise to be on this call and listening in and to understand that we mean business and that New York grand jury has made the decision. And that decision is an indictment for both of these individuals. If they refuse to obey, they are in contempt of court at this moment. As of tomorrow, by the end of the day, they will be officially in contempt of court, contempt of the grand jury. Remember, when a grand jury comes into being, that is the common law court. Without the king's bench, in other words, the grand jury, the sovereign of the court, without that, it is not a Supreme Court. When they impanel That is the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court has come into session when the grand jury was impaneled. And they remain in session until either they solve the problem and hopefully create a solution and then not indict, or indict, send it on to the trial jury. By having these two people arrested tomorrow, the purpose of the arrest is the fact that they've been indicted, they've broken the law, and we're giving them the sworn affidavits, which are the witnesses of those who saw the law being broken by those two individuals, along with the law requiring the sheriff to do his duty. And that's what we're going to do, unless they come get to us before that. They got our phone numbers, they got our fax numbers, they can get us tomorrow anywhere. So if they obey the law, or they obey the commands of the people, we're not going to indict. It's that simple. If they're going to continue to be in contempt, then we're going to have to indict. We have no choice. And it is what it is. So there's nothing else we could do. We can't be pansy-ansy about this. We can't all of a sudden say, well, okay, you know, we're not going to. No, we can't do that. We've already spoken. We've already ordered. And we've already told them what the consequences were. So this is not a surprise to them. I don't know how they sleep at night, but it's not a surprise to them. Anyway, anything final, Joe, before I move to the next caller?
Well, I'd just like to answer that and then just say that I want to leave room for somebody else, but I have a world of things to talk to you about. But
well, you can always call me, by the way, during the week, you know, if there's anything you really want to share with me. So.
You're so busy. I've sent you the California Constitution. I've sent you other things, and I don't get answers. So this is the way to get a hold of you.
Well, yeah, but you can also call me on the phone. You usually get me in the evenings. You know, the phone is the best way to get me. It is true. My email is so bogged down, sometimes I just hit the dump button, and that's it. There's nothing else I could do. I just can't do nothing more. I try to skim through as much as I can, and I do miss things in my skimming through. I guess I didn't get the California Constitution. I must have missed it somehow, but I have been getting some, and I've been posting them. Was it a PDF you sent me or a link?
It was a PDF, but it did have some stuff at the end of it. But I've
okay, yeah, if it had things, I did get one or two from people for different, but I want pure, just it. I mean, if they want to send something else that we can post somewhere else, we will, if we don't already have it. You know, we have a document page. We can post it up there. But if it's a state thing, you know, we've got another page. We'll create another state page if there's some other document we should be posting. But as far as the Constitution for the state, we'd like it to be a virgin, you know, just the Constitution for the state. I mean, but
yeah,
if I could have stripped it out, though, I'm... On that one, if you send me the PDF directly, I have a program that can strip out anything else that's in it. So I must have just missed it.
That's a serious problem because there's the original Constitution, and then it's been amended, and it's been amended in ways that are very significant. And so the work group I started on my own forum was, this is what I think is the PDF file. This is the official webpage that the official state of California is saying is the current Constitution. This is the original one. This is the amended one in 1880. Let's compare and find out exactly where it's been changed. But I just want to, before closing, and let somebody
else
on. Well,
I could appreciate that, by the way. So if I missed that, I missed that. But I could appreciate that, and I would have posted that if I knew and understood. I don't think it was California that I had the problem with. Someone sent me something with numerous things in it, and I think it even had the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. Plus, it was just too much. And you know, at the time, I didn't think about it because I do have a program that can strip out everything and would have left just the Constitution. So, but anyway, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I can resend it, and I can send it to contact instead.
Send it to me, but just make sure you put in all caps, state constitution.
Okay,
you know,
and something like that. The additions were actually very beneficial because the additions alerted the reader as to how to search the whole constitution with the PDF reader.
Okay, I appreciate that. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, you can look up common law. Okay, the other thing is to get back to the sheriff. in New York. I just want to caution anybody who's thinking about doing this, it's all right. I mean, there may be arguments, but it's all based on the natural law or the God's law stuff. It's all right. So if you have sense, this sheriff out there, it's up to him then to deal with the person he's going to arrest and to do it in a moral manner. And if the person that he's going to arrest becomes like the wild boar, you know, that's running amok and killing people, then it's up to him. So I think I understand what you're doing. I do think I understand what you're doing, and that's why I asked the questions, is to confirm, and I did, and thanks for the opportunity to do that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Joe. All right.
Thanks.
We'll go to the next caller. Looks like a Jersey phone number here. It's coming in at 201-240. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing, Jason?
Hello. Fantastic. Yeah. I'm enjoying everything that's going on. Now, I disappoint. Like, I know you said in the past that we should have a numbers of our counties to do it the one time filing at the same time, because it makes more of an
impact. Yeah.
But again, I'm waiting on certain people to get things in. Things are not happening the way I wanted to. Would it be too promptu to me to file for Hudson County and wait for the other people to file theirs? Again, if time is of essence, we have to show our earnestness.
Right. I on the one hand, I don't want to get too involved in what people do in a state. I think if the people are coming together and talking and they want to do something different than what we're suggesting in this kind of a sense, you know, then, you know, they would know better than I would, because it's their state and they know what's going on. But I can tell you, I come from New York City. I New Jersey, a good part of New Jersey. New Jersey is not a big state particularly. And New Jersey, I'm very familiar with New Jersey, Bergen County, and that kind of area there, right across the GW Bridge there. And it's a lot like New York. People are a lot like New York. I think the politics is a lot like New York. There's a lot of corruption going on there. They're not going to take too easy to the grand juries. So I would think Jersey, like most places, you're going to want to get a bulk together. Listen, here's what's important. It's important that we don't get impatient. We really have to pray for patience. We really have to do that. You know, I had to do it myself. I'm impatient, too. And I want to move on, do. And sometimes I'm pushing so hard, and it just doesn't get anywhere. And it finally gets to when it comes, and often I see, well, hey, it was better off I waited than actually if I had my way, it would have been not as good, maybe. But the bottom line is that there is power in numbers. How many counties are in Jersey, by the way?
21 counties.
21 counties, okay. So you got 21 counties. If you can get 5 or 10 juries together and file at the same time, that's pretty darn powerful. If you got 10 of them, you got half the state, and that should shake them up. And that's the key thing. Remember, you know, once you file, you know, yeah, you're going to try to get access into the court. You're going to push a little bit. But the more clout you have behind you, the better it is. It's better sometimes to spend more time organizing, spend that extra time organizing, also educating ourselves, making sure that we don't get lost in the political process. We got to stay out of politics if we're going to be doing grand jury, because it's very important that we don't get into a situation where we may have to judge, and then we've already been out there with a political opinion or activity there, so we got to be very careful with that. So we have to be we can't be biased. We have to be neutral. We have to be honest. We have to be, honorable, and we have to be merciful. So we have to do the right thing. So talk with the other leaders, and if you only got a couple of counties, definitely if you only got one, I would suggest very strongly not to do just one. You got to do a few at the same time. So
yeah, I'm just waiting on my other leaders to get their seals. That's all we need is their seals, and we're set.
Well, how many have you got elected out there now?
Reinstatement of 4.
Got 4. Okay, who's the state coordinator?
Devin was, but Devin is having challenges, and I always give him a call up to give him a feedback of what's happening in the state, And basically, I am now the coordinator. It hasn't been changed for the state organizer. So it needs. I went on the website, and I see 31 jurists, yet I can't see their names, so I can't get a hold of them.
Well, are you listed as a state coordinator?
No, I'm not. It needs to be changed
okay.
by you guys.
Well, I'll go up there and I'll flip the button on that and get you in as the state coordinator, and then you'll get access. Then you get out to the page that I told everybody about earlier. If you go on to hover over states, once you're a state coordinator, you'll see an extra tab down in the bottom that says instructions, and that'll tell
mm-hmm.
you exactly how to download the an Excel sheet of all the people that you'll have. Now you'll have all their information, and that's private.
Mm-hmm.
Do not share that with anybody.
And
we can't abuse that list. You'll also have the ability to send everyone a mass email right off the website, so you can send some messages.
Right.
And again, we don't want to abuse that. But the key thing, if you're going to be the state coordinator, anything political, you have to have a really low profile on. I know you're politically involved in different things. You have to make a decision if you're going to be the state coordinator to back off the political stuff and to really focus in on, what we're doing, period. This is the most powerful thing anyone could be doing, in my opinion. And I think you see that. And that's why you got involved. So, but I'll flip that button. I'll try to do that tonight or tomorrow morning. And once I do that, you'll start to see other things. Go out to that page on the states, read the instructions on what you can do, and be very careful not to flip any buttons or edit anything that you don't understand. We'll be given more instructions as we go along.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate
right.
your leadership, your commitment, and your zeal. And again, I'd like to reiterate, North Carolina is really streamlining. And one thing I like is they have their national news, and then they go into the state coordinators, and then they ask general questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very good fundamental program of doing that. And they're doing a fantastic job. And it's going to be really great when I can see other coordinators in different states. I mean, we are moving, and I'm happy that we are moving fast. And
right.
God bless every one of us who's believes in saving our great republic for ourselves and for the world. And I sign off.
I appreciate it. All right, and as soon as you get out there on that, once you're made a state coordinator, immediately go up there and check off the counties that have become elected or about
right.
to be elected. Get them in the count. We need them done. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
All right,
thank
Jason.
You all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to our next caller. We're going to 541. Hold on a minute. 541-336. 541-336. You should have heard. You've been unmuted. Go right
Hi,
ahead.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Hi, John.
Hi.
Bump on a log here.
Okay.
It's Laura
you got
from Oregon.
How you doing, Laura? How's things going out there in Washington, in Oregon? And what? Well, Washington's next door to you anyway, so. How's things
yeah.
going on out there?
We're all getting incarcerated.
Oh, well, join the club. No?
Yeah. They arrested me and my husband.
Give me a call when you can, not tonight, but maybe tomorrow night or something. I got something to share with you that might be really helpful. It's a new strategy that we're starting to use, and I think you'll really like it.
I did try calling you several times, and it is hard to get a hold of you by phone.
The best time
I know
to get
you're getting
to
really
me.
Busy.
Yeah, the best time to get to me is in the evenings. You know, I got a new schedule going now because since I've been ill, I've been going to bed earlier, and now I've gotten into a new habit, and I'm up at 5:36 in the morning, sometimes a little later. But, I'm up early in the morning, so if you call me in the morning, 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you definitely will get me on the phone. And, during the day, sometimes I have things to do, and I'm away from my computer. And after dinner, usually about 8 o'clock my time, I'm back in front of my computer again. So if you can calculate the times, you'll be able to get me 9, 10, definitely before noon. I usually am here. Now, over the weekend, I've been writing papers. I wrote three court papers, and I was just so busy, and I have ignored the phones most of the weekend. Sometimes I got to just ignore them because I got to get the work done. But usually I try to answer if I'm here. But give me a call.
Well,
and let's
they're running scared over here. That stuff that
well,
I was dealing
when
with.
When you see this new paper, they'll really be running scared. But go ahead.
Well, my stuff's dealt with. Mine's over.
They dropped
one of my charges. Yeah, they're running scared. But then in my county, after they arrested my husband, we've got a grand jury in this county, and they're doing secret indictments.
Great.
And I've never seen it before. I've never seen
are
a
they in the
secret
court?
Indictment. I don't know.
All indictments are secret. People, you know, when I walked in and we started talking to people, they wanted to know who I was. And I said, my name's John. And they said, what's your last name? I said, I'm with the grand jury. You don't get my last name. And then we went on to questioning and conversation. And believe me, they just sucked that right in and continued on and answered every question. And I could see they were frightened. And I try to intimidate them because I want to frighten them because they need to be frightened. They need to, you know, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. So when people fear the government, we have tyranny, you know.
Well, they're doing secret indictments against the people, and they're being used as a tool by the DA. And
oh,
so
okay, now, maybe
done.
I misunderstood when you say secret indictments. When I say secret, I mean they don't get to know the names of the people. But, yeah, if they're doing a secret indictment against the people, boy, that is pretty serious. But what do they do when they do that? Do they arrest people at that point or you go to court? What happens?
That's why I'm calling you. See, he was already incarcerated. He was already in jail, and they did a secret indictment on him 6 days after he'd been in jail. So they went upstairs and rearrested him while he was in jail, pulled him back down to booking, went through that whole process again. The deputy said this is ridiculous, so apparently he doesn't do it often. And they're putting a felony offense on my husband, and he went and wrote a correspondence to be seen in front of the grand jury. They completely ignored him. So
Give me a call tomorrow. Let's talk about it. I'll give you I got something to share with you that'll be pretty powerful and may help.
Okay, and I got a question about our power. Yeah. Can we go back and reopen cases that have already been tried?
We can do habeas corpuses and pull people out of jail that don't belong there and set them free. And we'll talk about that.
Beautiful.
But that's not something we want to do right away. That's not something. First of all, we got to get the people behind us, and our first order of business is to save the republic. Anything personal, I know a lot of people that need to be free. I know a lot of people that have problems, and I'd love to go help them, but we're not going to in the beginning. We're going to work on saving the republic. Once we save
you
the
said
republic,
Pennsylvania.
No, New York.
I was
going to
say Pennsylvania's doing really good, right?
Oh, yes, Pennsylvania's doing good, Florida's doing good, New York's doing good. There's a lot of places doing good, really. But anyway, the thing is we need to organize, get the state together and save the republic in our state and then eventually together, state by state, save the nation. But once we get to that point, we've taken total control of the judicial process and brought it back to justice. Once we get to that point and we get the sheriffs on board and they understand what's going on and they're becoming educated, they're boning up on the common law, they're boning up on the Constitution, and the people are now seeing that they're going to get justice in the courts. Now that's the people behind us. At that point, and that could be done very quickly, it depends on how fast you can get the counties elected. Once you get the counties elected and the seat in, within 30 days you could be at this position I'm talking about. And once you're at that point, you can then start doing habeas corpuses. We could go and we can get the list of all the people in county prisons that are in jail for certain things like that are not illegal. Driving without a license. There are people doing years in jail in some states. Years for driving without a license. We need to get those people out of jail. They don't belong there. They didn't commit a crime. And there's a lot of things. There's probably a list of them. And we will deal with them, and then we will start talking to people on how we'll be able to go through these processes, and all the other states will be doing the same thing. We got to get justice back into our states.
Well, right now we just have judges running out of the courtroom saying they don't want to have a discussion when their oath is questioned.
Well, that's okay. They can run right out of their courtroom and then right into a cell. Because, you know, I believe that jails are for two different people, violent people and judges, and I truly mean that. And now I'd like to see mercy for everyone, including judges, but when the people start to pile up the stuff against these individuals, we won't be able to ignore it. And there are lots of people, you know, we get judges that come out at retirement and claim that, you know, they've given out a million years of jail sentences in their career. You know, that's nothing to be proud of. I'd like to see them go to jail for a million years. You know, that's where they can spend their retirement maybe. They deserve it, you know. But, you know, every case has to be looked at on its own. And, you know, some of these judges are so evil, and they'll have so many people coming up filing cases against them. They don't have a chance, you know. But they made their bed. Now they got to sleep in it.
So the last time we talked, you didn't really want to pump out too much advertisement, so apparently it's a go-ahead or a green light. So
yeah, let's get the word out to everybody now. We're ready. We can handle the load on the website now. We're ready to do it.
Okay. I've got a newspaper that I write articles for, so.
Okay. Great.
So, all right. Game on.
All right. Okay. All right, Godspeed, and give me a call tomorrow. We'll talk.
Sure.
Thank you. All right, let me take the next caller. All right, good night. Let's go to the next caller. It looks like it's a 203. I think that's Connecticut, 203-807. You should be hearing that you've been unmuted. You got the mic.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Thank you, John. I just want to touch base on, you know, some of the people that are not familiar with computers at all. Obviously, you're not as fortunate as you and me. You know, I love the computers, even though I started on a learning school on a manual typewriter, so no such thing as computers or calculators or anything. But, yeah, I speak to a lot of people, and, you know, they're not able to do anything on that. You know, sometimes they say, oh, well, my grandson could look at it for me or whatever. But is there something that you could do? I'm not saying not in any, you know, any quick time. I know you have your hands full, but or even anybody out on the call where you could put like just a simplified version of what you're about. You know, just like a little something on a page or two, just to get them going. And then, of course, everything else could then be you know, found from that point, you know, there could be,
right.
You know, getting.
Yeah, I think our front page is like that. Maybe I need to reread it to see, but our front page really tries to give a good explanation and a little bit of a taste of what we're doing and what we're about. And I think, and of course that video, you know, videos are good, easy for everyone to watch. Everybody likes to watch a video.
Oh, yeah. But
that video on the front page.
Is that, you know, these people, I mean, imagine you have all these people, you know, most of them, you know, either semi-retired or retired, and they're the people that have the time to do something.
Right.
And, but they're not really knowledgeable. I was just in College Point, New York yesterday, and I spoke to two gentlemen, and, you know, they seem to try to understand what I'm saying. But when I say, you know, hey, you got the video, this and that, you know, for them to even, they'll never be able to, you know, figure out what to do on that.
Well, even if they don't play the video, I think the front page gives a good synopsis of what we're doing to some degree. I don't know if anybody can take that task on and try to, you know, work with us to create something, a page or something special that would be helpful in that manner. You know, they can volunteer to me and we'll give them a page. You know, we've got pages where we need blogs. You know, someone could do something there, I guess.
Yeah, no, that would be great. It's just like anything else. And I know this woman that's fighting on a probate case, and it's very complicated. But I said, you got to make it simple. You know, she's on point
well,
on so many things.
What you might want to do is if you got personal access and contact with these people, if you go over to their house and show them on the computer, you know, it only they only need to learn a few things because it's Windows. It's Windows-based. I mean, press a few buttons and this happens. Press a button that way and that happens. Once they get the idea and press a few buttons, then all of a sudden, I got it. You know, I remember when I got my first video, and it was Windows 3.0, I think it was, and it was my first computer. Uh-huh. And I'd worked on computers at DOS at work, but it was my first personal computer, and it was Windows 3.0. And I remember I was afraid to even push any keys on it that I'd break it, you know. So it took a while, like anyone else. But, after a while I figured, well, okay, you know, that's how you do it. You press a few keys, and it's all mouse, you know. You don't even have to use the keyboard. You can do everything with a mouse, you know. So, but anyway, I think the best way is to go into these people's houses and show them, you know, spend a half hour with them, and after a half hour, I think they'll get it. It's hard to set up a page to teach them because they got to get to the page and push some buttons at least to get to that.
What I was saying is that something that you would that I could even print, like say someone comes up with just a condensed version of all the key points. And then I could even print it and then hand it out. You see what I mean? Because
I appreciate that. We do have a lot of materials that could be printed out. You go to our documents page, there's a lot of that stuff can be printed out. And you can also actually print out our pages, our front page and our jurist page and so on. But that'll continue to keep them crippled. You know, there's an old saying, you know, it's better to teach someone to fish than to get them a fish if they're hungry and give them something to eat for the day. But if you teach them to fish, they'll eat for the lifetime. So it's the same thing here. You know, you get them some papers and then they'll be frustrated because they don't know what to do next and they don't know how to use the computer now. The computer is the tool that's going to help us to save this nation. Without the computer, we would be nowhere as to where we're at right now. We wouldn't be communicating the way we are. We wouldn't be educating the way we are. We wouldn't be moving across this country the way we are. So the very tool that they're used and are using to really bring us into slavery, we're using electronics, same thing, the same tools, to actually fight against them. So, but people have to use the computer if we're going to get out there.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, obviously, what a time to be alive with these computers. Imagine you've got more power on a little netbook or laptop than the Fortune 500 companies had in the whole computer room. You know, so I mean, you're so right on that. You know, just incredible, power that we have. And so I'll work on it, you know, here and there. But I do have the ability to do a lot of printing. I got heavy duty IBM printers that, you know, have like incredible, like probably 100,000 page month duty cycles and stuff like that. You know, so I don't mind, you know, putting some things. Maybe that will get them started and maybe interested in, because like I said, some of them, they don't even have computers, you know, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that will motivate them. Maybe they'll go to the library. At least they got them there.
Right. Well, that's it. Yeah, if worse comes to worse, people can go to the library. And I know some people that are following along with us do that. They go to the library. And what's nice and helpful for them now is because we've got the phone number, and since they don't have computers at home, you know, we've got the phone number that's very easy. You dial right in and you're in. There's no button pushing and numbers to remember. Just dial the number.
Exactly.
So.
No, I see you definitely simplified that. I mean, whenever you started that, that's really great because I know before it was a few little things you had to do, but I definitely have to say that that's fantastic. Now, you know, no one has an excuse not to call in.
Right.
And just like you said at the top of the call, you mentioned that this is such an incredible thing, this Monday night call, because, you know, when someone asks a question, you could be answering, you know, that for 10 people and everything else that you said about as far as, you know, questions that you're just interested in that you never even thought of, and now you're getting all this information. And, and plus, you know, just hearing you, I just have to say, John, you know, if people could emulate the way you handle yourself, it's just not just the content, but in the manner and the respect that you have for everyone, and that's why people have respect for you. And the way, you know, I see rarely they ever interrupt you. They have respect for you because it's the way, you know, you present yourself.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. Thank you. All right, let me move on to the next. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just one last thing. Last week you mentioned there was some comment about having like two or three witnesses.
Yes.
You were talking about something. And one thing.
It's a biblical principle, and you know, common law is mostly biblical principles. A lot of people don't realize that. But most of the common law comes from biblical principles, and there's a biblical principle: two or three witnesses, you establish the truth. So that's why we use two or three witnesses.
Right, right. And I do, and the reason I brought that up is because you were saying two or three, and I just thought maybe just to touch on this for a second that I think try to go for the three because there's a lot of, the thing is, John, there's a lot of remedies out there, and they all call, the similarity is the three, and they even said three marshals. You know, like in certain cases, they'll actually say sheriffs or marshals. And they even said record-keeping marshals or sheriffs. So actually, whatever it is that they're witnessing, that they actually have a record of. But so anyway, just something to run by you, know, as something. You know, this way, you know, get something that, you know, we all agree upon. And you say, look, this is it, three witnesses. And that's it. Instead of saying two or three, that's all.
Three witnesses is what we really do teach. And but you know, if people did a presentment in order to bring a grand jury together, to constitute one, and they only had two witnesses to sign up, that would be sufficient. But really, we need three if possible. But two will work also. But pretty much everyone does three, and it's been I believe everyone that's been constituted has three witnesses, and actually they'll have six because there's three witnesses on the main page, and then there are three affidavits, so often there'll be six witnesses, three doing an affidavit, three signing the papers. But you know, again, these are biblical principles. I know God says that you know, if a man takes the life of a man, then by man shall his blood be shed. And but he goes on to express a little more about that and to say before you could take the life of a man for murder, you must have two eyewitnesses, minimum, two eyewitnesses. Without two eyewitnesses, you cannot take his life. And I don't know if our, you know, the statutory law works with that. I mean, they do strange things without any eyewitnesses. But, you know, that's interesting because God created us and he knows there could be mistaken identity, and that happens often. And so he let us know you need two eyewitnesses, not one.
Excellent. So, well, thank you again. I'll let you move on and hope
appreciate
to talk to you next week.
Okay. Godspeed. Okay, we'll take our next caller here. It's 620-870. That's 620-870. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. You got the mic. 620-870, you got the mic. Okay. I guess we lost 620. Okay, 412-527. 412-527. Did we get you already?
Stephanie.
Go ahead,
hello?
412. Yep, hello.
Oh, that's me. I'm Stephanie, and I live in Butler, Pennsylvania. I've spoken to you before.
Right.
I was calling because I wanted to let you know that I'm putting a PowerPoint presentation together on the Common Law Handbook.
Okay.
So we have something to kind of present, you know, to a group of people. I wasn't sure if anyone else had that idea or they were starting it, but...
Well, that's an in-depth study. Remember that that's an in-depth study, and it's a good study. You know, if you're going to get a group of people that's really involved, I think you don't want to do that as presenting to people to bring them in. You know, we have the PowerPoint and video, and we have the PowerPoint you can do. But people who are already in and want to learn, let me tell you, that's powerful. If you really want a good education in common law, read that handbook, because that handbook really tells a lot. I mean, it gives a good picture of common law. And so, yeah, that's a good idea. We did do something like that. We do have it recorded. Maybe I'll repost it. I don't think I have – I may have it posted up there, but I'll get it posted, I think. It's about an hour's long, maybe a little longer. We did on a webinar, and I did the we didn't do all of the booklet, but we did a good, you know, lots of chunks of it, pieces of it throughout.
Yeah, my idea is that I could use it to, you know, the people that are already familiar with the grand jury, we could study the handbooks that are displayed during our meetings and everything, and, you know, add some comments, maybe get it recorded so that I don't have to, you know, go through the whole presentation myself.
Right.
I just play the recording and stuff
right.
Like
if
that.
if you have PowerPoint, I think you have to have at least 2010. I think 2010 and above has a recorder built into it, so you can do the PowerPoint, get it all together, and once you get it all together, and you kind of figure out what you're going to say, you can do one page at a time. You know, one page or frame, one frame at a time, and you can also go back and change a frame anytime, you know, if you're not happy with the way you did it, or you need to put more information or take something out, or if it's too long. So once you do that through the PowerPoint and add the audio to it, you then go and save it as a video, I think it's called a WMV, if I recall. You save it as a WMV, and it saves it as a video. And I've done that. You've seen the PowerPoints we have on front page. That's how we did that one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
so it's very helpful. I find it better to do that way, because when I go out and do a presentation on something, and I use a PowerPoint and I try to do it within an hour, and I ended up taking 2 hours. And then it kills the whole meeting. People are tired. They want to go home. So by doing it, pre-doing it and having it recorded and do it in 45 minutes, which is ideal, hour max, and then you play the recording, you can't go over, and then you could take questions and answers and have discussion.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to break it down maybe into probably 3 or 4 different sections and kind of make it like a study session. So
yeah, that's a good way to do it as a series, yeah.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
But, another thing me and my husband were talking about is for people to reach out about the grand jury is commenting on maybe like InfoWars stories or other, you know, news stories from different sites, and just kind of, you know, commenting on the comments underneath the stories and mentioning the grand jury, and maybe putting the website up on these comments, and you know.
Well, we have our RSS feeds off of our site. If you go to our news page and if you click on news, which is the main link there, you get the breaking news for it. This comes from oh goodness, what's that guy's name? I'm on the page right now. I'm looking for his name, and I can't see it. Oh, wait, wrong place. News. Oh, breaking news. Not in breaking news. Yeah, well, breaking news. That should have been an RSS feed. I don't know what happened. But we do have Alex Jones. We have Ron Paul news feeds. We have Glenn Beck news feeds. We threw in there Colbert Report and a Daily Show, because you can really get some news off them guys and get a little humor at the same time. And we got the Drudge Report in there. So all those are RSS feeds, which is a tremendous amount of news. So anybody that's interested in looking at the breaking news and getting, you know, reasonably good sources, we have them right here on our website.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, radio talk shows all over. There's one down in Pittsburgh I listen to, and he's Dr. Weiner. He's a homeopathic chiropractor, but he has like a wellness center too. And I've been thinking about calling his, you know, his radio show up. He talks like 5 days a week. And
what's his name?
I mean,
what's his name?
Dr. James Weiner, W-I-N-E-R. Okay. Yeah.
I'd have to look into him. Maybe if I like him and I think he might be good for what we're doing, you know, we'll see if he's got an RSS feed. W-I what?
W-I-N-E-R, Weiner.
Weiner.
Dr.
Okay.
James Weiner. He's in Pittsburgh.
All right, I'll look into them. You know, we do have a page under issues on, we have health issues and we have things on poison because there's a lot of poison in our food and our air and our water. People don't realize this, and it sounds crazy for people who haven't heard about this before, but they need to be informed on what's going on with our food. They're poisoning us through our food. These people are sick people. You know, they got these... what are GMOs, genetically modified organisms, and they're creating strange things with our food. This stuff, this high fructose corn syrup is killing us. And there's a lot of stuff out there.
A lot of pharmaceutical companies that are creating these drugs that are giving people diseases. They think they're getting cured from one disease and it's creating three or four different other ones.
Yeah.
And,
what I find really amazing, and if it wasn't so sick, it would be humorous. You watch TV, and they advertise all of these pharmaceutical stuff, and, you know, take this pill to do this, and take this pill to do that, talk to your doctor about this pill. And as they're talking, the people are looking so happy, and they're smiling, and they're skipping along, and life is grand. Meanwhile, they're talking about the consequences of taking this pill might cause sudden death, or blindness, or liver failure, or cardiac arrest, and there's no connection, and people actually go and take this stuff. I can't believe people take the pills with all these potential side effects and the dangers of these pills. You're better going into the homeopathic end of things, you know, get into the natural cures, because that's the stuff that really works. Doctors and hospitals are great for patching you up and sewing you together, you know, you get hit by a car or something and certain things, but when it comes to these illnesses, these sicknesses, I think you got to run away from doctors. I think you got to move to the natural side of things.
Yeah.
So, but I'll look into this Dr. Weiner. You said his name is James Weiner?
Dr. James Weiner, yep. He's got a website, too. You just go to drjamesweiner.com. Yep.
Okay.
All right, well,
anything
thanks.
Else?
And, nope, that was everything. Thanks for your time.
All right, I appreciate the call. All right, let's take our next caller here. It's 352-502. That's 352-502. You should be hearing you've been unmuted. You got the mic.
Yeah, John, this is Hagen.
Hey, how you doing, Hagen? Any update for down there in Florida?
Well, we had more fun today than a man ought to be allowed to have with these court
clerks.
Well,
tell us.
Well, we went to Marion County, and they had their attorney, and, well, they had five people there, the court clerk, his assistant, the attorney, and some guy from the county commissioners, and so they were all prepared for the battle that they knew was coming. And anyhow, we let them know that, you know, that's not acceptable. We're there to get the grand jury room, and they're pointing a finger at each other. And I told them we're not going to tolerate that. You know, we're here to get the room. It's the law, and you have to do it. So that's what we're doing. So but of course, the guy that they're pointing a finger at is an assistant for the county commissioners, and so I told him, I said, well, I'm going to call the guy because he's pointing the finger at you, you're pointing it at him, and you're saying that he said something that's different than what he said to me, so I'm going to call him, and I did, and the guy did actually lie, so he's supposed to call me back tomorrow, but I told him that we won't accept anything else other than the room in that courthouse. We will be in there, they may as well get used to it. And then we went on to St. John's County, and it was a much more pleasant and congenial meeting there, but we still didn't get the room. However, they asked us to give them more time to find a space for us, if in fact they can do that. And I said, well, that's not what you're going to do. you're going to go to your lawyers and your judges, and you're going to try to find a way to weasel out of this. I know what you're going to do. You can't lie to me. And if you do that, all you're doing is just kicking the can down the road a little further, and it's going to hurt you in the end. But we will get into this courthouse. It is happening all over this country, and you may as well accept it and start providing the rooms, because we're going to get in here. And anyhow, like I said, you know, it did turn out much better than it did at Marion County, but the court clerk asked for another 5 days, and I said, all right, we'll give you 5 days, but at the end of that 5 days, we expect the room in this courthouse. And the one guy for the county commissioners in that county as well, he is saying that he doesn't have control over it, and the court clerk is saying that she doesn't think that she has to provide it. But they kind of gave us the runaround, but it was, in a sense, productive. And the one's going to call us tomorrow, and the other one will have the answer for us by Friday. So we'll see where that goes. But we left no uncertain terms that, it is their duty to put us in the courthouse. And if they don't do it, we'll take the next steps. We don't want to do that, but that's what we will do. So I think it was a productive day. And like I said, it was fun, actually. I enjoyed it, but I always do. I'm hoping that everyone in every state will begin to do this, because you can't play games with these people. They just run you around like there's no tomorrow, and you have to be serious with them. You have to get down to it and tell them, this is what's going to happen, and you're going to do it. And they do respect that. You have to speak with authority to these people. And here we've got 11 counties now elected in Florida. And we've got about the number seems to be stuck at 37, more to go.
Tell Roger to get out there and flip those buttons there, you know, check the boxes so that they start to record on the on our website. And good.
Yeah, Roger is doing a tremendous job. I am so lucky to be working with a guy like that, and I really appreciate him.
Yeah, I had a conversation with him last night. There was a few of us on the phone. We were talking for a while. So, yeah, good work. You know, one of the things I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed it, not only are they a little nervous of us, there seems to be people amongst them that seem to really want to see us come in. Have you been noticing
that's right.
That? Or it appears that way, anyway.
The one guy there in St. John's County, he's a big, huge ex-state cop. He does a skit for Patrick Henry, and he has this big mural on his wall of him in dress as Patrick Henry, and he says, "Give me retirement or give me death." Well, now he's got two retirements already, and he's working on a third one. I think there's something wrong with that picture, but he does seem to be friendly to our efforts. You know, I mean, he certainly is arguing for them, but he's trying to save that third retirement. I think without that, he would be right there swinging with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm looking forward to it. Now, we're going up tomorrow to the north of me here in Ocala. We're meeting with three more counties, possibly four. And I'm going to be speaking to them tomorrow night about the common law grand jury. And, we're pushing hard. I wish we could afford to do more. There's a lot of things I'd like to do, but we just can't afford to do. But we're doing what we can, and I still am looking to make Florida the first state. Unless I happen to get back to Pennsylvania and get it kicking again the way it was, and Stephanie and them guys are doing a tremendous job. But here again, you know, finances is a big problem.
Right, Yeah, we're all out of pocket, and it's all tough, and, so I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, I try to do what I can by phone. That's probably the cheapest way that I can do it. Get people in touch with people like Stephanie and Jesse and others up there. And we're also fighting a battle in Elk County, Pennsylvania, where they stuck the papers into a court case. And so I wrote up some stuff for Jeremy up there to take care of that situation. And all of a sudden they got silent. And one lawyer resigned as the solicitor for the county clerk, and ran. Of course, he was serving two jobs. He was a solicitor for her, plus he was a district attorney. So now he said he's washed his hands, but he doesn't have clean hands. I got news for him. He said he's washed his hands since he's not her solicitor anymore. But that's not so. He's in big trouble. And I filed a complaint against him with the Professional Ethics Commission also. I told him I want his bar card removed, and I want him prosecuted criminally for what he's done. So, because he committed major fraud in getting them to put that case into a civil court case.
Yeah, I know. That's amazing. And, yeah, that, you know, we were concerned about that. That's what they were trying to do to us in New York, and we were trying to warn everybody. And but, you know, that's why we do need someone in every state that really is schooled, reasonably schooled in common law, and to step up and kind of take the lead. We need one leader in each state to really take the legal lead like you're doing, and some of us in New York and other places. So, and we need everybody to bone up. People got to get out there, and we got to learn this stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, we've got people who are really sacrificing time, money, efforts, everything, and I am so appreciative of them. I've got a sidekick here that's the coordinator for Marion County who travels with me. I don't think I could stay awake if I didn't have somebody with me, because we go on long trips that is very, you know, we start real early in the morning and don't get home till late at night.
Right.
And sometimes we stay over, but, you know, it's an arduous process, but I'll tell you, it's a worthy process, and I hope.
Absolutely.
I know there's other people in other states that have the abilities to do these legal matters, too. I know quite a number of them.
Oh,
and,
they're out there.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. But, you know, I'm like you, John. Time is short, you know, but they are beginning to see. We're being affected. They are afraid of us. There's no question they are. If people who think that they're not afraid of us, Lord, I wish they could be with us in these meetings like we had today. That's what makes it so much fun. You know, I think Jefferson left out a little bit there when he said, when the government fears people, you have liberty. You not only have liberty, you have fun.
Well, you might as well have fun as you're doing it. Looking into liberty and fighting for it, you know, is rewarding in itself. But looking into liberty is, it's fascinating to find out what liberty really is. You know, people may think they know what freedom is, but that's a very shallow thing on what the word freedom takes you to where liberty takes you, and to where our heritage and what our heritage is all about, and the history of our founding fathers and what they did to accomplish this for us. So,
well, they kind of sort of threatened us with the president judge today, and I said to the guy, I said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you telling me? Are you telling me this judge is God or something? Are you telling me he's got a big old halo around his head? I said, why don't you go get him and bring him down here? I said, what's his first name? He says, oh, we don't call him by his first name. I said, maybe you don't, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
You go get him and bring him down here. I want to talk to Alexander. You know? He says, well, I wouldn't want to be the one that does that. I said, you just bring him down here and I'll do it for you. You don't have to do it. I'm not afraid of
Well, that's
him.
It. We can't let the we have to intimidate them. You know, on the one hand, we do have to be humble. But when the war gets down and you're really fighting for things, and people are being stubborn and they're breaking the law, you know, then you have to turn the focus, and you gotta intimidate them. And when you see that you got them on the run, keep them on the run. You know, we got to do it. We got to be. You know, what is it, gentle as doves and sly, how's that saying go in the Bible? Wise
as a
serpent.
Dove and wise as a, wise as a serpent.
Yeah, wise as a serpent. So, you know, we got to do what we got to do. I mean, generally speaking, we do want to be humble and we want to be, you know, polite and gentle. But when they turn against us and they just are totally disobedient and refuse the will of the people, then we have to have another side to us. We have to intimidate.
Yeah, and respect is not automatic. You know, even the judicial conduct rules sets forth that they have to have, you know, they have to earn the respect. You don't just automatically give it to them. You know, if Jesus Christ walked into the room, I would certainly stand up. But you know what? I would fall on my knees and worship him. But he's not God. You know, he doesn't have that halo on his head. I'm not going to worship him. And he's a man just like me and everybody else, and you know, and he needs to act like it. But right. when he's in that position of power, you know, we are the supreme rulers, not him. You know, right. in the sense of government, we're the supreme rulers. We're that fourth branch. We have that power. And I pointed out to this guy, so every state constitution has it right at the very beginning. It says all power is inherent in the people. So who does he think he is that he can override us or he can order you to do something that injures us or interferes with our rights in any manner? He can't do that. And he's also okay. duty bound by the precedents set by the U.S. Supreme Court.
And that court that man sits in, any court, if it doesn't have the authority of the people in it, that being either the sovereign of the court or the grand jury, you know, the trial jury itself, then it's a nisi prius court. And
right.
it's susceptible to collateral damage and from us, from a higher court. And they have to be obedient. And, you know, I think they're seeing it. They're realizing it.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, we do treat them with respect. But, you know, when they start off on that, you know, the one thing that really digs into me, I cannot tolerate lawyers. Lawyers and the Bar Association, I've got a thorn in my hide for them. If they act with respect, even with the lawyers, if they act with respect, I'll treat them with respect. But when they start that nonsense of, I'm your God and you know, you'll listen to me, no, thank you. I'm not putting up with that. I'm your God, and you will listen to me because
right.
you have no business being in this government. You have no business being here calling yourself a solicitor for this court clerk. You need to take a hike. I'm not here to
right.
talk to you. And if you want to sit over there and whisper in their ear, you go right ahead, but I'm going to punish you for it because, number one, there's no lawful reason for you to be here. These people were never delegated the authority to have you here unless they've done something illegal. And if they've done something illegal, then they need you, then they have to pay for you, not me. They're using my tax dollars to pay for you to sit there and advise them against me and the rest of these people. And you're not going to do it.
Right.
You know, all right,
well,
I mean,
look, I gotta cut this short. I'm looking at the clock. I've got 23 minutes left, and we got about 5 more callers, maybe 6 more callers. So anything you want to finalize before we move to the next caller?
No, that's good. That's fine. I bet the other callers get in there. Yeah, I want to hear them too.
All right, Godspeed, Hayden. Hagen, talk to you soon.
You bet. Thank you, John.
All right. Okay, let's take our next caller. It is 303-717. 303-717, you should be hearing that you're unmuted. I'm going to try to cut people down to just maybe 3 minutes or so. Maybe we'll be able to get everyone in. But go ahead, 303-717.
Hey, John, it's Charlie from Colorado.
How you doing, Charlie? Good to hear from you.
Hi. I would like maybe as brief as it can be an explanation about the adoption of the common law grand jury board of review that was done on page 11.
Mm-hmm.
On the writ of mandamus.
Right. You know, people have spoke about a board of review, and we kind of look at the administrators are kind of a board of review. Matter of fact, they are, because they're not the grand jury, but they're sent out by the grand jury to investigate, and that's what a board of review is. We've looked into the history of the board of review. Some people think that the board of review is the authority that they can use as a grand jury, but it isn't. The Board of Review, as far back as I could find, surfaced in the very early 60s. And it came up in, and I'm sure it had been before that, but that's all I could find. And it came up in some cases. It was, labor department cases, about 3 of them back in the very early 60s. And since then, it has surfaced in many different areas where, for instance, a particular elected group, a councilman or something, they might want to investigate something, and they'll put a board of review out to go out and really do an investigation and review the whole process and bring their findings back. And that's exactly what we as administrators are doing. So we could kind of use that word, a board of review, for the purpose of bringing back to the grand jury. If they can't solve the problem, they bring back the problem and explain it to the grand jury, and the grand jury then acts upon it. We can also call ourselves an investigative body for the grand jury. But definitely our titles should be probably administrators. That's what we're suggesting to use. But definitely do not call yourself a grand jurist. you know, you may be part of the grand jury and you may have been sitting on the grand jury and making decisions on the grand jury, but you don't want to identify yourself as such. And it also helps to protect
you. Okay, so are you suggesting, John, that the other states adopt that? If they have a unified...
Well, yeah, I think they could, but since writing that, you know, sometimes you write things and you think out and you come with better ideas or thoughts. I think we're better off just calling ourselves... I was talking with Gerard about this. I think we're better off calling ourselves investigative bodies for the grand jury and titled as administrators. But we could call ourselves Board of Reviews if we want. I think we should go the other route, though. That's
well,
my opinion.
Since you've
but people could do
that,
what they want.
Proclamation.
So. Right. People could do either way.
Okay. Right. And by the way, in reference, it was interesting. I can't remember who you were speaking to. You were mentioning RSS feed. I'm reminded,
right.
by the way, of the creator. And he actually took his own life, I think, very close to one of these days in January of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of the persecution that he was getting under Massachusetts district attorney. So I think our prayers should go out to him and to his family, Aaron Schwartz.
Right. Well, I agree. All right, I
Good
appreciate
night,
that. Good night. All right, next caller is 904-704. 904-704, you should be hearing you're unmuted. Give us your name and your state.
Hello, John. Thank you very much. This is
How you
Joaquin
doing?
From... Pretty good.
How
are
you?
How you
doing, Joaquin? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Excellent. Just Higgins and Smith talk about Florida, and I was just with him in our county, and it was great. We had very fun talking with the clerk. But I would like to go to Montana, and we have, there are great news, two counties are restored to the common law grand jury. And you and I know the name of the person who was trying to infiltrate in our website as an organizer. Well,
right.
That person was in that meeting that we went. And first, let me congratulate the people of Montana. We celebrate the public elections in the library. And the room of the library was packed.
Great.
They have available 38 seats. They were all taken. And then we have people standing up like sardines. We were 18. That person that we know, without notice, after we watched the three videos, and we were ready to take the vote from the people. Our coordinator, who is a great person, I need to congratulate her, April Heath. She had a great knowledge about our liberty, about justice for all, and she's one person that stood alone in that county and took all the documents and paper to published in the news media. The news media got the attention. We were taped by the TV, and she did all that work. When she started talking about asking to the question, that person that we know shout out loud to everybody that they should not vote, that we were illegal, that we were not constitutional, and he ran all over and all over, so I had to intervene. And I said to the people, look, we are here. We already notify you about the process that we are going to have. We said that we are going to have a presentation. We are going to watch the videos. Then after an hour, we want to take the vote, and then we will open the question. Whoa, they don't want to take it. Those three individuals, he came with two friends.
Right.
They were very out loud, not respectful, not allowing to talk. But they demanded that we should, before take the vote, we should have the questions and answers. So I said, okay, let's talk with the people, which we the people, we are the kings. Let me ask to the people if they would like to change the program, and instead of voting, if they authorize to have the questions and answers. And Yeah, of course. The three shout out loud, yes, we want to have the question answer. So, okay, let's do it. The people say yes. I said, go ahead. Let's start. Say what you got to say. So he said that we, showing his iPhone, we have here the commune, we have here the statues of Montana, and we've got to go for the number, blah, 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 blah. And what we got to do got to be constitutional. So he didn't know what he was talking. He was talking about the Constitution, and he was mixing it with the Montana Constitution. So he was saying that the Montana Constitution is over our Constitution. So I have to tell him about our supremacy in the Constitution. So at the end, back and forth, I did have my time to explain to the people that I flew from Florida to Montana, and I have not received one penny from nobody. I did it from my own work. And I came over there because I saw the abuses and the thing that is going on in that county. That's why we have so many people in the room, because they are thirst for justice for all. So at the end, I have the opportunity to ask the question, do you want to restore the commune law in Montana, in the county of Gallatin? In the first place that we went on park, everybody lifted up the hand. And when we asked anyone opposed, no one opposed. But when we did it in Gallatin and we asked the question, you know, 18 people lifted up the hand. And when we asked, who, is there anybody who opposed? Yes, those three individuals opposed. Mm-hmm. So we passed by overwhelming majority. That's on the records. And now we have two new more counties in Montana. And we have, of the attendance people, they were a lot of leaders from the Tea Party, that they mm-hmm. talked with Abel and the other grand jury administrator, commune law grand jury administrator in Park County. It's at Julie LaDuke, and she's already contact with everybody. Now, these are people that suffer a lot of things. Even they have been put in jail for 3 years. They lost their property. They lost everything. They have a lot of abuse from the judges and the AGs, attorney generals, and the defense attorneys. So there is now more people wanting to know after the media, the TV put it the thing, but the media, TV put it the things not according to the truth. So they put that guy at the end when he started speaking at the beginning, and he make us look that we are the one, the bad guys, that we are not following the Constitution, and this guy looks like that he was talking about the Constitution. But the people were not fooled. The people knew what's going on, and they are in outside, and it's growing in Montana, and I believe that pretty soon we will have many counties over there restitute to the commune law. That's all, John. Thank you for your time. And
all right, well, I appreciate that story. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week, maybe.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, Godspeed. Okay, let's take our next caller. We're running short on time, so I got to push it along. So the next caller is 941408. You should have heard. Your mic is unmuted.
Yeah, John. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. My name's Mike. I'm from Sarasota. I had a question posed to me at our election meeting that a person wanted to know how the administrators were going to be chosen or elected, or what the process was for that?
Yeah, the administrators just rise up. We have a lot of people involved in a lot of counties, but not everybody wants to be administrator. It's a full-time job. And of course, it does take someone that's going to have a focus on learning. I mean, look, if we're not willing to learn and really bone up and get involved in what we're doing, then we shouldn't be taking those positions. So the people who are diligent and really boning up on the common law, boning up on the procedures and the process, out here on a website really learning, they will be able to articulate themselves well and they will surface to the top. And so the first four people that surface to the top take those positions. Now, I don't see a lot of people fighting for those positions. I think a lot of people feel that, well, a lot of people have work. They got jobs or they're business people. And they want to help as much as they can, but they don't want to take those positions because they don't want to give up their careers. So that's okay. It's just going to take four people to surface. And I know, you know, here in Dutchess County right now, there's only two of us that really have surfaced. Hopefully we'll have two more, you know. But although we had a lot of people involved in putting this thing together, you know, a lot of people that showed up for the vote and people who are supporting us and have signed up, but they haven't taken the initiative to really say, I'd like to be the administrators. Do you have a lot of people in your county that want to be an administrator?
No.
Yeah, so it's nothing that really we have to worry too much about, like there's going to be 12 people fighting for the positions. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to be short for a while. We're going to find one or two people running a county and looking and waiting for two other people to show up and do it. But they'll show up. It'll come. You know, if we build it, the people will come.
Right, right. It was just, this is, like I said, that was at the meeting, and I hadn't seen anything on the website regarding that. At some point, I thought maybe there was a possibility that, the people who signed up for the jury pool might pick, you know, four people from the jury pool or something, or people that wanted to put their hat into the ring. So
it's the people who want to do it, because remember, they have to be motivated, they have to realize it's a full-time job, and they have to become educated. We are not qualified, generally speaking, for these jobs, no matter what kind of an education we've had, because we've never had the proper education. So we have to become educated, and that education is nationallibertyalliance.org. That's where you get the necessary education to take this position. We've laid it out very clearly, and so those who are taking the initiative to really get involved, you know, there are some people that camp out on our website. Now that you see the names out there, I see some people out there all the time. So you can see some people really want to learn and know what's going on. And everybody needs to get out there at least an hour a day. Everybody, bare minimum, an hour a day.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah.
And I got to push along. There's not much time left. Make it very quick and a quick answer.
All right,
go ahead.
Just a quick question. I wanted to know if you've ever heard of the Christian Drill Society.
The Christian what?
The Christian Jural Society.
No, don't know about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me take the next caller. We got three more callers. I'd like to try to get them in. We'll see what we can do. 507-452. 507-452. You've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Hello?
570. Did I say 507? It's 570. Hello. How you doing?
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, this is John here in Pennsylvania.
How you doing, John, in Pennsylvania? You're on the mic.
Good, good. I've been sitting here listening to this. This is my first experience with your radio show. I'm constantly in contact with Nikki and Jesse Baker and Stephanie. I was unaware of what was going on in Elk County. Maybe I'll have to fly up to Elk County here. I'm on here just to get educated. I'm you know, like most people, I've got involved with this because of my own issues, and I'll call you at some point about those.
We've come to contact with the courts. We found out that there's no justice there. So
absolutely. They're on me for four felonies right now.
Yes,
so,
unbelievable.
I videotaped the crimes in the courthouse, and I put them on Facebook.
There you go. That's the way to do it. Now we'll start
yeah,
inviting
like that.
Them as we get in. So, but,
I'm... Jesse and Veronica have been pushing me pretty hard to get the center counties here going, and I have to admit, it's not like I'm dragging my feet, and I wanted to tell everybody, you know, you just got to stay with it. I'm self-employed.
Right.
I'm a single father, you know.
Right.
But
I
spend my time studying.
One of the key things is this. We don't need an education. We don't need a lot of knowledge to get the grand juries constituted. You know, anybody can step up in a county and decide to do it, and 1 week later they could be running the election, and next thing you know they got the county constituted. Now, they don't have to file the papers yet if they're not ready, and they need more help in the county and they want to wait till they get more help, that's fine, but at least we get constituted. Once you're constituted, whether you filed it or not, you're constituted, and you could be working with the other counties, supporting them and them working with you, and you start building up. Meanwhile, you know, you're organizing, you're educating yourself, and when you feel confident and comfortable, you file, and you work with the others to get one county in. We have to work, we have to all of us in the same state, whatever state you're in, needs to focus in and work together on one county at a time. Once you get into one county, then you that's it, game over, you're in.
Well, we got at least one county. I think we got six here in PA right now.
Right, but we need people to get into the courts, sitting in the courts, and that's what we're working on.
Oh, absolutely.
And, the state coordinator out there needs to get out onto our webpage and follow the instructions and get their counties checked off so they start to register. So
I wanted to give you one comment quick. Somebody had called in and they said about, you know, you should be lenient on the clerk and whatever.
Right.
As far as what they do. Now, I want to give you a parable to that real quick. Just about a week ago, a state trooper walked into my deaf girlfriend's apartment, up the stairs, into her kitchen, not even to offer a summary, and everybody's like, well, yeah, he's a nice cop. And I'm like, you know what? You know, I know a lot of nice people in jail.
Right.
You know, that stuff cannot happen, whether it's a clerk or whether it's a cop, anybody acting under color of authority.
That's the problem. Yep, absolutely. We tried to be as merciful as we could, and we've given her numerous chances, and you can only go so long before, you know, it's abused, and next thing you know, no one's going to listen to us. We have to back up what we say. So I got to move.
Right.
I got two more callers left, and we only got about 4 minutes left. So, all right, Godspeed, and hopefully we'll hear from you next week, and get everybody else out here to this call.
You bet.
All right, good night. Okay, let's take our next caller. We got two more callers. 620-870. You got the mic. You should have heard. You're unmuted.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Great call. Man, you're getting a lot of good information. Thanks for stepping up and being a coach. And I think Hagen's going to be my hero.
Oh, yeah. He's doing a great job down there in Florida.
So. Hey, I got a question on our donations to the national site. Have we come up with a way to do that without the electronic funds? I don't have any way to move money up over the airways.
Yeah, you can go out and click on donate, and there's information on mailing. You could do a, a check or a money order or something. So.
Okay.
I'm kind of saving a lot of the envelopes. Some people have been sending money through the. Through the mail, and I got to get out there and click the buttons to make them premier members. So, you know, when they come through the mail, when it goes through the credit card, it's automatic. It turns them on to become a premier member. And a premier member is anybody who's supporting us financially, given $5 a month or more. So,
right.
And let me tell you, if everybody gave us $5 a month, we'd have plenty of money. So.
Well, I'll start pushing on them. I've got several people that would probably donate, but they don't have any way to get online either.
Yeah, I
so,
appreciate it. So, yeah, they can mail it.
Thanks a lot, sir.
All right, thank you. Let me take the last caller. It's an unlisted number. We're seeing it as all ones. You should have heard. You're unmuted. You got the mic. Last caller.
Hi, John. It's Rosanna from Ohio.
How you doing? How you doing?
Okay, how about you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, hey, listen, two things. I wanted to ask you about the paperwork. I've been hanging on here to do this because I sent you my stuff that I've got mine set up for February the 1st,
okay.
My meeting.
Yeah.
And so I sent that to you. But I have a question.
What you need to do in case we get cut off, you need to give me a call, not necessarily tomorrow, but sometime this week, and we'll talk. I got a pretty powerful paper to share with you that might be useful for you.
Might be something for me?
Oh, yep, I think I do. So give me a call. Yeah, give me a call tomorrow or the next day, you know, during the day or something, before noon my time, and we'll talk.
Okay. I tried to call a couple times, but, you know, you're not at the phone, and he always says, don't leave a message,
yeah.
I've been
really busy, and I've been doing some running around, and also the past month or so I've been really sick, so I haven't been taking a lot of calls. So, you know, I've been in court a few times and a few other things, so it's kind of tough. My times of being around has changed. I'm usually at the phones earlier in the day and very late in the day, not so much during the day.
I'll call in the morning because I want to ask you about being a notary and being the administrator on these and if you have to notarize the affidavit.
Yeah, let's talk about that. As a matter of fact, I did get some information. I got to remember where I got it from, but... I got to go recollect my thoughts on being a notary. Some people had made some points about that. But we're about to go off the air, so I'm going to have to cut you off. You got anything real final to say? You got like about 3 seconds.
No, I just saw a really good place to go get a notary, to be a notary here in Ohio.
All right,
really
we got to go now. Thank you, everybody,
okay.
For joining the call. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And bring friends. God bless.
Okay. I'll call you in the morning. Bye.
Bye.